ಸ್ವಯಂ ಶುಭಾದ ಪರಮಹಂಸ ಪರಿಭ್ರಾಜಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಅಷ್ಟೋತ್ತರ ಶತಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀಮಾನ್ ಅಭಯ ಶರಣಾರವಿಂದ ಭಕ್ತಿವೇದಾನಂದ ಗೋಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಮಹಾರಾಜ ಶ್ರೀಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದಿಗೆ ಜಯಂ ನಿತಿಲೀಲಾ ಪ್ರವಿಷ್ಟ ವಿಶ್ವಪಾದ ಪರಮಹಂಸ ಪರಿಭ್ರಾಜಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಅಷ್ಟೋತ್ತರ ಶತಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀಮಾನ್ ಭಕ್ತಿ ಸಿದ್ಧಾಂತ ಸರಸ್ವತಿ ಮಹಾರಾಜ ಶ್ರೀಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದಿಗೆ ಆನಂದಗೋಡಿ ವೈಷ್ಣವ ಬೃಂದಗೆ ನಾಮಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಶ್ರೀ ಹರಿದಾಸ್ ಠಾಕೂರ್ಗೆ ಪ್ರೇಮ ಸಹೋ ಶ್ರೀಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭು ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧಾರ ಶ್ರೀವಾಸಾದಿಗೌರ ಭಕ್ತ ಬೃಂದಗೆ ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀ ರಾಧಾಕೃಷ್ಣ ಗೋಪಗೋವಿನಾಥ ಶ್ಯಾಮಗುಂಡ ರಾಧಾಗುಂಡಗಿರಿ ಗೋವರ್ಧಾನಿಗೆ ವೃಂದಾವನ ಧಾಮಕಿ ಮಾಯಪುರ ಧಾಮಕಿ ಮಧುರಪುರಿ ಧಾಮಕಿ ಜಗನ್ನಾಥಪುರಿ ಧಾಮಕಿ ದ್ವಾರಕಾಪುರಿ ಧಾಮಕಿ ಗಂಗಮಾಯಿಕಿ ಯಮುನ ಮಾಯಿಕಿ ತುಳಸಿದೇವಿಕಿ ಭಕ್ತಿದೇವಿಕಿ ಸಾಮವೇದ ಭಕ್ತ ಬೃಂದಕಿ ಓರ್ ಪ್ರೇಮಾನಂದಿ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರಿಸ್ ಟು ಅಸೆಂಬಲ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರಿಸ್ ಟು ಅಸೆಂಬಲ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರಿಸ್ ಟು ಅಸೆಂಬಲ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರಿಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರಿಸ್ ಶ್ರೀ 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 ಗುರುವಿನ ಗೌರಾಂಗ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರಿಸ್ ಶ್ರೀಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ ನಮಃ ವಿಷ್ಣುಪದಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಪ್ರಸಾದಾಯ ಭೂತಲೇ ಶ್ರೀಮದೇ ಭಕ್ತಿವೇದಾಂತ ಸ್ವಾಮಿನಿಧಿ ನಾಮಿನಿ ನಮಸ್ತೆ ಸರಸ್ವತಿ ದೇವಂ ಗೌರವಾಣಿ ಪ್ರಜಾರಿಣಿ ನಿರ್ವಿಶೇಷ ಶೂನ್ಯವಾದಿ ಪಾಶ್ಚಾತ್ಯ ದೇಶಧಾರಿಣಿ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಸಂಸಾರ ಸಾಗರೇ ಮಗ್ನಂ ದೀನಂ ಮಾಂ ಕರುಣಾನಿಧೇ ಕರ್ಮಗ್ರಾಹ ಗೃಹೀತಾಂಗಂ ಮಾಂ ಉದ್ಧರ ಭವಾರ್ಣವಾನ್ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ಭಾಗವದಾಖ್ಯೋಯಂ ಪ್ರತ್ಯಕ್ಷ ಕೃಷ್ಣಮೇವ ಹಿ ಸ್ವೀಕೃತೋಸಿ ಮಯಾ ನಾಥ ಪ್ರತ್ಯರ್ಥಂ ಭವಸಾಗರೇ ಮನೋರಥೇ ಮದೀಯೋಯಂ ಸಫಲಾ ಸರ್ವದಾ ತ್ವಯಾ ನಿರ್ವಿಘ್ನೇನೈವ ಕರ್ತವ್ಯಂ ದಾಸೋಹಂ ತವ ಕೇಶವ ಭವೇ ಭವೇ ಯಥಾ ಭಕ್ತಿ ಪಾದಯೋರ್ಸವ ಜಾಯದೇ ತಥಾ ಕುರುಷ್ವ ದೇವೇಶ ನಾಥಸ್ತ್ವಂ ನೋ ಯದ ಪ್ರಭೋ ನಾಮ ಸಂಕೀರ್ತನಂ ಯಸ್ಯ ಸರ್ವಪಾಪ ಪ್ರಣಾಶನಂ ಪ್ರಣಾಮೋ ದುಃಖ ಶಮನಂ ತಂ ನಮಾಮಿ ಹರಿಂ ಪರಂ ಜನ್ಮಾದ್ಯಸ್ಯ ಯದೋನ್ವಯಾದಿದರದಶ್ಚಾರ್ತೇಷ್ವ ವಿಜ್ಞಸ್ವರಾ ತೇನೇ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮ ಹೃದಾಯ ಆದಿಗವಯೇ ಮುಹ್ಯಂತಿ ಯಲ್ ಸೂರಯ ತೇಜೋ ವಾರಿಮೃದಂ ಯಥಾ ವಿನಿಮಯೋ ಯತ್ರ ತ್ರಿಸರ್ಗೋ ಮೃಷ ಧಾಮ್ನಾ ಸ್ವೇನ ಸದಾ ನಿರಸ್ತಕುಹಕಂ ಸತ್ಯಂ ಪರಂ ಧೀಮಹಿ ಧರ್ಮ ಪ್ರೋಚಿತ ಕೈದವೋತ್ರ ಪರಮೋ ನಿರ್ಮತ್ಸರಾಣಾಂ ಸದಾ ವೇದ್ಯಂ ವಾಸ್ತವಮತ್ರ ವಸ್ತು ಶಿವದಂ ತಾಪತ್ರಯೋನ್ಮೂಲನಂ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ಭಾಗವತೇ ಮಹಾಮುನಿಕೃತೇ ಕಿಂ ವಾಪರೇ ಈಶ್ವರ ಸದ್ಯೋ ಹೃದ್ಯವರುದ್ಯತೇ ತೃಥಿವಿ ಶುಶ್ರೂಷುಭಿ ತಲ್ಕ್ಷಣಾಲ್ ನಿಗಮಕಲ್ಪದರೋರ್ಗಲಿತಂ ಫಲಂ ಶುಕಮುಖಾದಮೃತದ್ರವ ಸಂಯುತಂ ಪಿಬದ ಭಾಗವತಂ ರಸಮಾಲಯಂ ಹುರಹೋ ರಸಿಗಾ ಭುವಿ ಭಾವುಗಾಃ ಸಚ್ಚಿದಾನಂದರೂಪಾಯ ವಿಶ್ವೋಲ್ಪತ್ಯಾದಿ ಹೇತವೇ ತಾಪತ್ರಯ ವಿನಾಶಾಯ ಶ್ರೀಕೃಷ್ಣಾಯ ವಯಂ ನುಮಃ ಯಂ ಪ್ರವ್ರಜಂತಂ ಅನುವೇದಮವೇದಕೃತ್ಯಂ ದ್ವೈಪಾಯನೋ ವಿರಹಗಾದರಮಜುಹಾವಾಂ ಪುತ್ರೇದಿ ತನ್ಮಯದಯತ್ತರವೋಭಿನೇದು ತಂ ಸರ್ವಭೂತ ಹೃದಯಂ ಮುನಿಮಾನದೋಸ್ಮಿ ಯಸ್ವಾನುಭಾವಮಖಿಲ ಶ್ರುತಿಸಾರಮೇಕಂ ಅಧ್ಯಾತ್ಮದೀಪಂ ಅತಿಥಿತೀರ್ಷದಾಂ ತಮೋನ್ನಂ ಸಂಸಾರಿಣಾಂ ಕರುಣಯಾಹ ಪುರಾಣಗುಹ್ಯಂ ತಂ ವ್ಯಾಸಸೂನ್ಯಂ ವಯಾಮಿ ಗುರುಂ ಮುನೀನಾಂ ನಾರಾಯಣಂ ನಮಸ್ಕೃತ್ಯ ನರಂ ಚೈವ ನರೋತ್ತಮಂ ದೇವಿಂ ಸರಸ್ವತಿಂ ವ್ಯಾಸಂ ತಥೋ ಜಯಮುದೀರಯೇತ್ ಕಮನೀಯ ಕಿಶೋರ ಮುಗ್ಧಮೂರ್ತೆ ಕಲವೇನು ಕುಣಿದಾದುದಾನನೆಂದೋ ಮಮ ವಾಚಿ ವಿಜೃಂಭದಾ ಮುರಾರೇ ಮಧುರಿನ್ನ ಕನಿಕಾಭಿ ಕಾಭಿ ಗಾಭಿ ನಮಾ ಓಂ ವಿಷ್ಣುಪದಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಪ್ರಸ್ಥಾಯ ಭೂತಲೆ ಶ್ರೀಮದೇ ಭಕ್ತಿವೇದಾಂತ ಸ್ವಾಮಿನಿಧಿ ನಾಮಿನೇ ನಮಸ್ತೆ ಸರಸ್ವತಿ ದೇವಿ ಗೌರವಾಣಿ ಪ್ರಜಾರಿಣಿ ನಿರ್ವಿಶೇಷ ಶೂನ್ಯವಾದಿ ಪಾಶ್ಚಾತ್ಯ ದೇಶಧಾರಿಣಿ ಶ್ರೀಮಲ್ ಗುರು ಚರಣಾರವಿಂದಾಭ್ಯಾಂ ನಮಃ ವಂದೇ ನಂದ ವ್ರಜಸ್ತ್ರೀನಾಂ ಪಾದರೇಣವ ಭೀಷ್ಣಶ ಯಾಸಂ ಹರಿಗದೋದ್ಗೀತಂ ಪುನಾದಿ ಭುವನತ್ರಯಂ ಗೋಪೀ ಚರಣಾರವಿಂದ ಪರಮಾಣವೇ ನಮಃ ಪೀತಾಂಬರಂ ಕರವಿರಾಜಿತ ಚಕ್ರ ಶಂಖಂ ಕೌಮೋದಗೀ ಸರಸಿಜಂ ಕರುಣಾ ಸಮುದ್ರಂ ರಾಧಾಸಹಾಯಂ ಅತಿಸುಂದರ ಮಂದಹಾಸಂ ವಾತಾಲೇಶ ಮನಿಶಂ ಹೃದಿ ಭಾವಯಾಮಿ ಕೋಮಲಂ ಕೂಜಯನ್ ವೇಣಂ ಶ್ಯಾಮಲೋಯಂ ಕುಮಾರಗ ವೇದ ವೇದ್ಯವರಂ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮ ವಾಸದಾಂಬುರಗೋ ಮಮ ಮೂಗಂ ಕರೋದಿ ವಾಜಾಲಂ ಪಂಗಂ ಲಂಘಯದೇ ಗಿರಿಂ ಯಲ್ಕೃವಾತಮಹಂ ವಂದೇ ಪರಮಾನಂದ ಮಾಧವಂ ಶ್ರೀಕೃಷ್ಣಾಯ ನಮಃ ಶ್ರೀಮದಿ ರಾಧಿಕಾಯ ನಮಃ सर्वत्र गोविंद नाम संकीर्तनम गोविंद गोविंद ओम पार्थाय प्रतिबोधिदाम भगवदाम नारायणेन स्वयं व्यासेन ग्रदिदाम पुराण मुनिनाम मध्ये महाभारतम अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणी भगवतीम अष्टादशाध्यायिनी अम्बत्वामनुसन्धदामि भगवद्गीते भवद्वेषिणी नमोऽस्तु ते व्यास विशाल बुद्धे अरविन्दाय तवत्र नेत्र येन त्वया भारत तैलपूर्ण प्रज्वालितो ज्ञानमय प्रदीपा प्रपन्न पारिजाताय त्वत्र वेत्रैकबाणै ज्ञानमुद्राय कृष्णाय गीतामृत दुहे नमः सर्वोपनिषदो गावो दुग्धा गोपालांदना पार्थो वल्स सुदीर्भोक्ता दुग्धम गीतामृतम महान् वसुदेव सुगम देवं कंसचानूरमर्दनम देवगी परमानंदम कृष्ण वंदे जगद्गुरुम भीष्मद्रोणदंडा जयद्रद जला गांधार नीलोल्पला शल्यग्राहवदी कृपेणोहनी कर्णेन वेलाकुला अश्वत्थामा विकर्ण घोर मगरा दुर्योधनावर्तिनि सोतीर्ण खलु पांडवैरण नदी कैवर्तक केशव पाराशर्यवज सरोजममलं गीतार्थगन्धोल्कटम् नानाख्यानक केसरम् हरिकथा सम्बोधनाबोधितम् लोकैः सज्जन शल्पदैरहरः प्रदीयमानम् मुदा भूयात् भारत मङ्गज कलिमल प्रध्वंसिन श्रेयसे मूगम् करोति वाचालम् पङ्गम् लङ्घयति गिरिम् यल्कृपादमहम् वन्दे परमानन्द माधवम् यम् ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्र रुद्र मरुदस्त्वन्वन्दि दिव्यैस्तवैर्वेदैर्सङ्गमदैर्क्रमौपनिषदैर्गायन्दियम् सामगाः ध्यानावस्थित तद्गतेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यम् योगिनो यस्यान्तम् न विदुसुरासुरगणै देवाय तस्मै नमः
Discussing yesterday, bhikshus preparing for sannyasam. You see how what bhikshu had to go through before entering into sannyasashram. Bhikshu is saying to us that not to go to places where you are honored or respected, but go to such places where you feel disrespected. Why? It helps to get the ahankaram down inside. That's the principle behind it. That Shastram says that asammanat, that means where you are not welcomed, that will help us to elevate tapo vriddhihi. Tapasya will improve if you went to a place where you are not honored or respected. Asammanat tapo vriddhihi. Tapasya will get better. Sammanat tapo kshayaha. If you go somewhere and people give you all respects and honor, then your tapasya will go. That is the relationship between tapasya and honor. So therefore, Bhikshu understood this principle because in order to get the mind under control, this ahankaram has to go. Because moolam is ahankaram. It is from ahankaram that this mind is grown. Is it not? So he is saying there that if you look, you will see there that he decided, therefore, that is the reason he decided to take his bhiksha with the bowl in the same place where he lived, where he was disliked by others. He didn't want to go anywhere else. He could have gone somewhere else where he was not known very well. But he didn't go. The reason is this. That he decided to stay in the same place where he lived because he knew everybody will speak to him rudely. Everyone will curse him. and everybody will abuse him in different ways. Knowing all that, he wanted started walking around there. Because sannyasam means what? Sannyasam means this, isn't it? He has accepted sannyasam, which means he had the danda in his hand, the bhikshavatram for begging for the food, and what is allowed for the sannyasi is egavastram, one cloth. He was wearing that. And all these things are there for the sannyasis to follow. And with all these things, he is walking around. It is at that time a group of people joined him there. Krishna says here, Sachachara mahimedam samyadalpendriyan ilaha bichartham nagaragraman asango alakshido vishal. That's that verse, 32. Sachachara mahimedam samyadalpendriyan ilaha. So, all these people who were very annoyed with him due to his miserly nature, they all got around him. They all got around him and they abused him. They abused him to such an extent, whatever they felt, they started calling him like that. They say that this is always common, this problem. In fact, in sannyasa ashram, you can expect that. You can expect this to happen in sannyasa ashram. That many, many people who are bhikshamdehi, who have completely depended on Krishna and who wandered in this world, spent their time in sannyasam in this world, they had to face this in real life. And when this is happening recently, not in the recent past, Paramacharya's one close associate who comes from Mettur Swamiji as he's called, when he was walking around all over India, in one instance, he was very close to Paramacharya and well learned as well, but in his clothes and his dress and his movements, you would notice that. He looked so simple, but inside full of realizations. While walking around in that instance, somebody on the street felt annoyed with him, pulled his sannyasa dandam, broke it and threw it away. And not only that, he felt so angry with him, seeing his clothes and beat him up with that stick, his own dandam. And that day, he says, he fasted that night. Because when material nature is injecting strong punishment like that, a sannyasi is reflecting on it and allowing not the mind and the ahankaram to be affected by that. That is the consciousness of the person. And many, many days he used to eat only some puffed rice. That was his food. And no drink, no milk, nothing like that. So these things are a tapasya for them. Because they know in the external world you may be having all these problems, but internally they are progressing. That strength is developing inside for proper sannyasa ashram. That spiritual strength inside to tolerate anything that is built up inside. This is the sannyasa ashram is not a film star's life that you go around everywhere, you are accepted and honored, respected like that. Sannyasa ashram is this, that from this world, like Dattatreya, he learned in sannyasa ashram, isn't it? From 24 spiritual masters. Jadabharata, how was he treated in this world? His own brothers, they were giving him trouble. So if you look everywhere, you will see the same thing. Properly renunciation, vairagyam comes and take to sannyasa ashram, the world will not look at you in a favorable way. They will always give you all sorts of problems. But they accept that, and that is where they test whether we are able to survive through that and accept that punishment from the world. So this bhikshu traveled in that way and suffered heavily at the hands of others. Somebody broke his danda. Krishna is saying there, Kechil Trivenam Jagruhum Ege Patram Kamandalum Pidam Chege Akshasutram Chakantham Chirani Kechana. Kechil Trivenam Jagruhu Ege Patram Kamandalum Pidam Chege Akshasutram Chakantham Chirani Kechana. Then one person took out his pot. Another person broke his kamandalu, the begging bowl, somebody took it away. Another person took away his water pot. And that water pot was for him to drink the water. He was used to take the water from the river and drink. And that water pot has been taken away by them. So he had somewhere to sit, some asanam like thing which he was using, a wooden plank that was taken away by somebody. And he had a rudraksham on his neck that was taken away. One after the other, everything was taken away from him. And even the cloth he had, they were trying to take it away from him. So in spite of all these things, when it happened, he remained peaceful. He remained peaceful. And although everything was taken away, and still he was so peaceful, seeing that, they were getting annoyed, those who were doing these things. And they thought that, let's try and play with him a little bit. So some of them brought back the things, what they have taken away from him, and started giving it back to him. And even then he didn't say anything, he kept quiet. And then somebody else came and took it away from him again, deliberately teasing him in that way. So somewhere he had some bichannam, the food that was given to him from somewhere. They took it away and took it to the river and put it in the water, all those things. So normally in the system was that when the sannyasis in the ancient times, when they collected food from home, they will take it to the river and they will dip it in the water before eating it. Because the reason for that is they don't want to judge the food, the taste of the food. Because once you soak it in the water, there won't be any taste for the food. To that extent, separation from the body. Separation from the body. So that was the food, they brought it back and they passed urine into that food. Those people who were around him. That is what Krishna says there.
Pradayaja punasthani darshidanyada durmane annam cha vaikshya sambannam bunjanasya saritade. Pradayaja punasthani darshidanyada durmane annam cha vaikshya sambannam bunjanasya saritade. Mutrayandi cha papishta Shtivandyasya murdhani yadavajam vajayandi tadayandi na vakti chel. Tadayandi na vakti chel. Mutrayandi ja papishta Shtivandyasya ja murdhani yadavajam papayandi tadayandi na vakti chel.
This is sannyasashram. Not flying in the first class. That's not sannyasam. Sannyasam is this. This is Krishna's way of seeing sannyasam. So, here you can see that what they are saying is that he is not reacting when they teased him, insulted him and offended him like that. He was not reacting. When they saw that he was not reacting, they're saying, maunena sadayathyartham. You'll see there a word they used in the 39th verse.
Aho yesha mahasaro dhridiman giriradiva. Maunena sadayathyartham bhagaval dhridanishchaya.
Maunena sadayathyartham. Why is he quiet after being teased like this? He's not reacting to it. So they're saying that, one of them saying that, let me try whether he will speak or not. So what did they do? Two of them took the sticks and started beating him. Started beating him. And they started continuously abusing him. Continuously abusing him. So they were saying each other, he's a thief actually. It's a new dress he has taken now to cheat the people. And they'll say, the cat which doesn't keeps his eye closed always will steal the milk. So he is acting in that way. He is not saying anything and keeping quiet, but he has some bigger agenda behind it. Similarly, they were saying about him that he is keeping quiet, but he knows what he wants. He is up to something. They were saying like that. And probably this is a new method he has found out to make money. And some people came up and tied him down with a rope. He says there that if you look at the 37th verse, all those verses Krishna is saying is what he had to go through. Tarjayandevare vagbi stenoyam idi vadina. Stenoyam, steno means thief. Stenoyam idi vadina. They were saying he is a thief. Vajrandirajvatam kechil vadhyadam vadhyadam idi. Vajrandirajvatam kechil. Vajrandi means bind him with the rope, rajvam. Rajvantam kechil vadhyadam vadhyadam idi. Tie him down. They were talking to each other like this about him. So, one person is making fun of him. Oh, he must be a Paramahamsa sannyasi at that stage. And only thing is that he has taken this dress to a new dress he has taken. They are all thinking about his past life, where he was a miserly businessman who will not give anything to anybody. All that is in their mind, these people who are doing this to him. So they are saying that he has dressed up like this, but people are not going to look at you anymore kindly for what you have done before. And all money has gone. Kshina vittaha. He has no money now anymore. So he has started this new thing. And he says, Kshina vitta imam vritti agrahil sujano jidaha. Kshina vitta means all money has run out. He has no money now. Therefore, imam vritti agrahil. Therefore, he has taken up this new profession. Because he has lost all the money, he has taken up this new profession. Kshina vitta imam vritti agrahil sujano jidaha. Sujano jidaha. And I have seen, one of them is saying, his wife and children has thrown him out from the house. Wife and the children have thrown him out from the house. I have seen that. One of them is saying like this. And children have got annoyed with him because of his miserliness, and they have beaten him up and told him to leave the house. So that is how he is. They are depicting him in this way to everybody about him. So, aho yesha mahasaro dhridiman giriradiva maunena sadhayatyartham bhagaval dhranishchayaham. Aho yesha mahasaro dhridiman giriradiva. Then, maunena sadhayatyartham bhagaval dhranishchayaham. Just like this bhagam is, what is it called? Crane, the bird. That, if you see, there is a pastime, Krishna's one pastime in the 10th canto. If you observe them, they will go into the water. Bhagam. Bhagadhyanam it's called. And they will sit in meditation. You will think that they are in meditation. What they do, they will sit without any movement, and if there are any fish passing through, suddenly they will go and catch the fish and go away from there. But if you look at them, you will think as though they are in meditation, with the eyes closed, no movements, completely fixed in yoga position. You will see, think like that about them. So they are saying, this way he is behaving now, Bhagaval Dranashaya, that Bhagam or crane is very determined to be like that, to steal the fish from the water. Bhagasura came like that, isn't it? And Krishna killed him, pulled him out into two pieces and sent him back to the spiritual world. So, similarly, these people are saying about him that he is like this, he is like a bhagam, like a crane, he is sitting there, not moving and not saying anything, but he has some plan behind it, like the bhagam, a crane has got. So, it is like his meditation now. And similarly, they were abusing him and continuously talking about him in different ways, but trying to provocate him, in a provocative manner, and to agitate his mind. But he was in Shanti, Samahidam state. And it is at that time he sung this song, Krishna is saying here. Because when all these things are happening, Krishna's grace is flowing from inside for him. Externally, all this situation, but inside, Krishna's grace is coming from inside. Therefore, Krishna is saying here that he sung a song, because You can only sing a song when you are happy, isn't it? When you are miserable, you won't sing. What it shows is, even though externally all these things were happening, it never got inside. He was able to keep it outside, never allowing the distress to get in. That he succeeded in that. Krishna gave all the mercy what he needed at that time. That's why Krishna is using that. He sang a song, he says, to show that he was in a happy state, in spite of all this, what happened in the world outside. This is the lesson from the Bhikshugita. Whatever that happens in the world, not to allow the distress to get in. This is the art we have to learn from Bhikshugita. Bhikshu succeeded in that, we fail in that. Is it not? Bhikshu succeeded in that, we fails in that. We failed in that. Whenever external situation, no matter what happens, that we can't do anything about it. That will carry on in its own way. How material nature is operating in this world, we have no control over it. But let the boat remain in the water, but let the water not get into the boat. This is that lesson from this. Bhikshu is teaching us that. So, that is what Krishna is saying. Paribhudam imam gadham agayadhanaradhamai padayalbisudharmasto drudhi astaya satvigi. Drudhi astaya satvigim. Paribhudam imam gadham agayadhanaradhamai padayalbisudharmasto drudhi astaya satvigim. Then, astaya satvigim. Then, what is that astaya satvigim? Satvigya drudhi. Remember we discussed drudhi in the Bhagavad Gita in the 18th chapter. That satvigya drudhi means willpower. Ichha shakti. Power of willpower. So, because of that, satvigya drudhi. Because his drudhi was in the mode of goodness. Satvigya drudhi. Therefore, Krishna is saying here, he sang a song, and that is thus Bhikshugita, what we talk about. So in this chapter, it is called the Bhikshugita, and that Bhikshugita is from now on, the remaining verses in this chapter. You will see from 23, 24, 43, 44, all that. Dijavajam, although we have discussed this before, we will talk about it again, because Nayam Janome Sugadukha Hedu Na Devadalma Grahakarma Kalaha Manaparam Karana Mamanandi Samsara Chakram Parivarta Edhyan Mano Gunan Vaisraja Debiliyam Tadascha Karmani Vilakshanani Shuklani Krishnanya Thalohidani Tebhya Sarvana Sarvana Sudayo Bhavandi Tanihamalma Anihamalma Manasa Samihada Hiranmayo Malsayamudvijashte Manaswalingam Parigrihya Kaman Jushan Nibaddo Gunasangado Sau Danam Sudharmo Niyamo Yamascha Shudam Chakarma Nijasad Bradani Sarve Mano Nigraha Lakshanandaha Parohi Yogo Manasa Samadhi Samahidam Yasya Mane Prashantam Danadhibikim Vatasya Kritiyam Asamyadam Yasya Mano Vinashyal Danadhibishchedaparam Kimebhim Mano Vashenyeha Bhavansma Deva Manascha Nanyasya Vasham Samedi Bhishmohi Deva Sahasa Sahiyan Yunjyadvashedam Sahideva Devaha Tam Durjayam Shatrum Asahya Vegam Arundudam Dhamma Vijitya Gechil Kurvandasad Vigraha Matram Arteer Mitrani Udasina Ripun Vimodaha Deham Mano Matram Imam Grihitva Mamaham Ityandhadiyo Manushyaha Eshoham Anyoyamidi Brahmena Durandavare Tamasi Brahmandi Janastu Hedu Sukadukha Yoschen Kimatmanas Chatra Bhoma Yostal Jihuam Kojil Samdashadi Sodalbi Tadvedanayam Katamaya Kupiel Dukkase Hedu Yedi Deva Dastu Kimatmanas Satra Vigare Yostal Yadanga Mangene Nihanyade Kojil Krudhya Dagasmai Purushaswadehe Atma Yadisyal Sukadukha Hedu Kimanyadas Satra Nijasubhava Nahi Alpano Nyal Yadidan Mashasyal Krudhyadayasman Nasukham Nadukham Grahanimitam Sukadukhayuschil Kim Alpano Jasyasanasya Devai Graher Grahasaiva Vadandi Pidam Krudhyadayasmai Purushastadonya Karmasu Hedu Sukadukhayuschil Kim Alpanasadi Jada Jadatwe Dehastu Jil Purushoyam Subarna Krudhyadayasmai Nahi Karma Moolam കാലസ്തു ഹേതു സുഖദുഃഖയോശ്ചേൽ കിമാൽപനസത്രതാത്മഗോസൌ നാഗ്നേഹിതാപൗ നഹിമസ്യദൽസ്യാൽ ക്രുദ്ധ്യത കസ്മൈ ന പരസ്യ ദ്വന്ദ്വം നകേനചിൽ ക്വാപി കഥഞ്ജനാസ്യ ദ്വന്ദ്വോപരാഗ പരത പരസ്യ യഥാഹമസംസതി രൂപിനസ്യ ദേവം പ്രബുദ്ധോ ന ബിഭേദി ഭൂതൈഹി ഏതാം സമാസ്തായ പരാത്മനിഷ്ഠാം അധ്യാസിതാം പൂർവതമേർമഹർഷിഭി അഹം ധരിഷ്യാമി ദുരന്തഭാരം തമോ മുകുന്ദാംഗ്രി നിഷേവയൈവാഹം. വിഷു ഈസ് സെയിങ് ദാറ്റ് ദി പർപ്പസ് ഓഫ് ഓൾ ദി യോഗ പ്രോസസ് ഇസ് അൾട്ടിമേറ്റ്ലി ടു ഹാവ് ദിസ് മൈൻഡ് ഇൻ ദി അണ്ടർ കൺട്രോൾ, മൈൻഡ് അണ്ടർ കൺട്രോൾ ഇൻ ദ ശാന്തി സ്റ്റേറ്റ്. ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് ദ ഗ്രേറ്റസ്റ്റ് യോഗ ഹി സെയ്സ്. ഈസ് മെൻഷൻസ് ദെയർ ഇഫ് ദ പരസ്യയോഗോ മനസ്സ് സമാധി, പരോഹി യോഗോ മനസ്സ് സമാധി. 46 വേർഡ്സ് ലാസ്റ്റ് ലൈൻ. പരോഹി യോഗോ മനസ്സ് സമാധി. ഇഫ് മനസ് ഈസ് ഇൻ ദ സമാഹിത സ്റ്റേറ്റ്, ശാന്തി സ്റ്റേറ്റ്, ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് യോഗം, ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് ദി യോഗ സ്റ്റേറ്റ്. ഐ സേയിങ് വാട്ട് ഈസ് ദ ബെനിഫിറ്റ് ഓഫ് ഹാവിംഗ് സോ മെനി തിങ്സ് ഔട്ട്സൈഡ് ഇഫ് ദ മൈൻഡ് ഈസ് നോട്ട് അണ്ടർ കൺട്രോൾ. ആൻഡ് വെദർ യു ഹാവ് സംതിങ് ഔട്ട്സൈഡ് ഓർ നോട്ട്, വാട്ട് ഡസ് ഇറ്റ് മാറ്റർ? ആൻഡ് ദ പേഴ്സൺ ഹു ഹാസ് ഗോഡ് മനസ്സ് ഇൻ സമാധി സ്റ്റേറ്റ്, സമാഹിത സ്റ്റേറ്റ്, ഹി ഈസ് എ യോഗി. ഹി സേസ് പരോഹി യോഗോ മനസ്സ സമാധി. 46 വേർഡ്സ് ഐ തിങ്ക്. സോ ദിസ് ഈസ് ഭിക്ഷുഗീത. ആൻഡ് വൺ തിങ് യു വിൽ നോട്ടീസ്, ദിസ് ഹോൾ വേഴ്സസ് വാട്ട് ഭിക്ഷു ഹാസ് സ്പോക്കൺ, ബ്രാഹ്മണ ഹാസ് സ്പോക്കൺ, വാട്ട് ഹസ് കൃഷ്ണ കോൾസ് ഇറ്റ്? കൃഷ്ണ കോൾസ് ഇറ്റ് അറ്റ് ദി എൻഡ് ദാറ്റ് ദി ഇറ്റ്സ് കോൾഡ് ബ്രഹ്മനിഷ്ഠ. ദ വേർഡ് യൂസ്ഡ് ഈസ് ബ്രഹ്മനിഷ്ഠ. If you look at the verse 62, it says, the verse Bhakti, Bhikshu Gita, Krishna calls it as Brahmanishta, situated in the self-realized state. This is what Krishna calls it as self-realization. You see that? Ya edam bhikshunam gidam brahmanishtam samahidaha, brahmanishta state. That's what is Krishna wants that to happen. Krishna is admiration for the bhikshu, that he was able to tolerate everything and stay in that state of Brahmanishta, unaffected by the world, external world, and staying in that perfect situation, situated in the platform of Brahman. So, edam bhikshunangidam brahmanishtam samahida. Krishna calls this bhikshugida is Brahmanishta. Brahmanishta. So, whoever hears this bhikshugida carefully and does proper mananam on that, Krishna is saying he will have shanti inside. That's a blessing given to this by Vedavyasa Maharshi. Edam dharayan shravayan shrunvan dvandvair naivabhibhuyate, he's saying there. If you hear this dharayan shravayan shrunvan, if you speak this, if you sing this Bhikshu Gita, if you hear this Bhikshu Gita, if you dharana, that means if you reflect on this Bhikshu Gita, dvandvair naivabhibhuyate, you will get released from the dualities of life. We don't know why we are suffering here. We are suffering due to dualities. Isn't it dvandvam? That freedom from dvandvam is what is guaranteed if you study Bhikshu Gita. If you hear Bhikshu Gita, if you read Bhikshu Gita, sing Bhikshu Gita, speak Bhikshu Gita, and if you reflect on Bhikshu Gita, you get released from duality. Dharayan shravayan shrunvan dvandvair naivabhibhuyate, a benediction for those who study Bhikshu Gita from Krishna's side. Krishna is perfect on this, but only thing is we don't take interest. That's our problem. We think that it's another story in the Bhagavatam. We think it's not another story. It's some serious business there. Krishna is talking to us that what is expected of us in spiritual life. So that Bhikshu Gita we are talking about, that first thing you can see there, when Krishna shows his grace to somebody, and what is the symptom of the grace? First thing, vairagyam comes to him in a natural way, not artificially imposed. Vairagyam from inside, antaryami, gives you that strength to be detached to everything in this world, that power. That's called vairagyam. It's not something from your ahankaram coming. It's coming from the antaryami's grace, that he gives you the strength to deal with the world without any attachment to anything. So, vairagyam is like a fire which completely stops all the miseries of this world. That is the beauty of Vairagyam, isn't it? So all our distress is finished with Vairagyam comes in. When Vairagyam comes in. And that can only happen with Krishna's grace and grace alone, nothing else. So Vairagyam does not mean hate. That you have to remember that. Some people, they'll hate everybody, saying that I'm renounced now. So I dislike everybody, I hate everyone. And that is not Vairagyam. That's not Vairagyam. So when a living entity falls into the Krishna's network of grace, or attracted by Krishna, and falls into Krishna's that network of grace, at that time is when Vairagyam happens to a person. That is only happens when one gets blessed, or when gets attracted by Krishna, and Krishna's mercy comes to him. That's when Vairagyam comes to him. Therefore, the name given Vairagyam is explained as Vishesha Ragam. It's not only Vigada Ragam, it's Vishesha Ragam, a special attachment to Krishna. And attachment to the sense objects goes away from inside, and inside the attachment goes away, instead develop some bhakti and devotion and knowledge for Krishna. Devotion, knowledge for Krishna. Attraction for Krishna. So it is very difficult to say when this will happen to anybody. It's very, very difficult to say. And if you look into the Vairagya Shatakam, that is the verses from the Bhartrihari, he mentions this. What does he say? If you look at the 68th verse, Bhaktir Bhave Marana Janma Mahem Kridisyal Sneho Na Bandushu Na Manyata Javikara Samsarga Dosharahida Vijana Vananta Vairagyamasti Kimida Paramarthaniyam. This is a verse on the Vairagya Shatakam. It says, Bhaktir Bhave Marana Janma Bhayam Hridisyam Hridistam Snehena Bandushu Na Manmadhaya Manmadhaja Vikaraha Samsarga Dosharahida Vijana Vananda Vairagyamasti Kimida Paramarthaniyam. Vairagyamasti Kimida Paramarthaniyam. So when Vairagyam comes to a person, there is 100 verses in that Vairagya Shatakam Bhartrihari has written, and he says that bhakti for Krishna. Bhakti for Krishna. And in order to get that bhakti strong inside, this fear of birth and death has to go from inside. Because that fear, maranam janmam, jananam maranam, punarabhi jananam, punarabhi maranam, punarabhi janani jadare shayanam. So we have to feel fearful thinking about it, that death is there and I will have another birth again, and that birth is going to be miserable again, and then another death after that. So this cycle of birth and death should frighten us. That's intelligence. That if you are getting frightened by that, then it will help to cultivate Vairagyam. Punarabhi jananam, punarabhi maranam, punarabhi janani jadare shayanam. Idi samsare bahudustare krabayavare pahi murare. Addressing Krishna, Acharya Swamiji mentions this. So thinking about that, you have to get frightened. You have to get frightened. We are thinking, oh, once the death comes, at least we can escape from here. But the fact is this, that even if you die, there is no escape. See that? Even if you die, there is no escape. That is important thing. We are thinking, no, at least with the death, everything will be over. No, it's not over. It will continue still again coming back here in another body. And even if you get a human body, imagine that you have to go to school again, with that bag carrying hundreds of books and go. Even you just think about that school day, is that sufficient? And enough Vairagyam will come from that. That's how it is. Especially today, children's stage is like that, isn't it? How much they have to struggle. And that early ages in life, days in life, there is no happiness even then. what to talk about when they grow up. So problem is that misery is not over even after death. That's the important thing. So in the book, there is a book called Atmatirtham. In that Atmatirtham, there is a discussion between Vedavyasa Maharshi and Shankaracharya. It's a famous discussion between, that is, Padmavada was standing there, and this discussion happened in Banaras. When Vedavyasa Maharshi comes in the dress of an old Brahmana, and he is having discussion with Acharya about Brahmasutra. Brahmasutra discussion happens there. In that is written by another great personality about that, and the book is called Atmatirtham. You can read in there, that discussion. Shankaram Shankaracharyam Keshavam Badarayanam Sutra Bhashikado Vande, he says. Brahma Sutram or Vedanta Sutram Vedavyasa Maharshi wrote. Acharya Swamiji wrote his famous commentary on that Brahma Sutram. And then they are having a discussion, and in that discussion, the essence is like this. In the Brahma Sutra Bhashyam, Acharya Swamiji mentions, Brahma Sutram is in the form of Sutram. There is totally 555 Sutrams in that. Sutra means, for example, everything in a very coded language. It's written. So the language, just like Athado Brahmajnyasa is the first sutram. Then, Janmadhyase Yadaha, second sutram. Like this, single, few words, that's all. That's how it is written there. Acharya Swamiji wrote very extensive commentary on this Brahma Sutram. And in that he wrote that, on a particular sutram he mentions there, after death also, there is a lot of misery waiting. Even after death, there is suffering there. And after that, you continue to start fresh everything. Everything restarts, the whole thing again. So, important thing is that Vairagyam, if it comes now, at this stage in life, Marana Janma Bhayam Hridistham, like he says here, who Bhartrayari says there, that the process of this birth and death will still continue. He mentions there in the commentary. There is a discussion between Acharya and Vedavyas about this. So he says there, misery is not over after death. If somebody is thinking like that, he says he is mistaken. Misery is not over. Misery continues to exist because punarabhijananam, again coming back, another birth, another womb. Only thing is mother has changed. One mother has gone, another mother has come in place. But misery has not gone. Same problems what Kapila Vasudeva says to Devahuti Devi, within the womb what happens, and when you come out, you can't talk, and the parents are trying to look after you, but they don't know what your problem, what misery you are going through. Very detailed, it's spoken in the third canto, in the Bhagavatam, is it not? So that problem will not go away. And what else is happening? It says here that if you are grown up in an atmosphere where you have a lot of friends and relations and everything, and if you happen to be attached to them, then they will not allow you to take to Krishna consciousness. That's a known thing. If you got birth in a family where there is very strong family relationships, husband, wife, uncles, aunts, this, that, everything. And if you also have the similar attachment to them and you think that, oh, we are a very close family and all that, it's okay, that's fine. But only thing is, they will not allow you to take to spiritual life. They will not. Because they, as far as they are concerned, you are a part of their network. And you have to remain like that. They expect you to that. So, and they will not allow you to chant the holy name, or if you engage in any kind of spiritual activity, they will put the network around you and bind you with that. So, and what does that mean? There will be always some marriage or birthday somewhere. They will drag you there in that process, isn't it? And they will continuously invite you for one thing or the other, and if you don't go, they will constantly abuse you. It is a part of this society, isn't it? So, therefore, attachment or asakti should not be there in anywhere. If it is there, you are going to suffer. This will not happen. Any emotions that's taking away from Krishna, And if it's not developed, if it happens inside, one has to guard against that. Any emotions or thoughts that builds up inside, which takes us away from Krishna, then you have to be guarding against that. Then, where does he stay? Samsarga dosha rahita aha. That means, suppose you give up all these things, samsarga dosha rahita. This is called samsarga dosha. Samsarga dosha means, due to association with the society, family, who will steal your life the way they want it. They are stealing your life and they throw you into a difficult situation, and due to that attachment or samsargam, samsarga dosham it's called. So even if you don't have that samsarga dosham there, suppose there is, you go to a solitary place in a forest or somewhere where it is, in the forest, where away from all the crowd, and where you are not disturbed by these forces of the society. And if you want to live there, or in some temples, tirthakshetram, where there is a tirtham, or holy places, temples, or forests, wherever it is possible to engage in the spiritual activities, even if you want to live there, then you have only one friend there in that situation, that is Vairagyam. Vairagyam is your friend at that time. Vairagyam asti, Vairagyam is present there as your friend at that time. And one should not expect anything more than that. One should not expect anything more than that. That Vairagyam is the friend at that time. There is no other friend. There is no other friend. So, you will see here also, Acharya mentions there that this life, ekande sukham asyadam paratare chetas samadhiyatam purnalma susamikshadam jagadidam talbhadidam drishyatam prakarma pravilapyadam chitibalal apyuttare ishlishyadam prarabdham tviha bujyadam athapara brahmalpana sthiyatam. Ajari Swamiji says that ekhande sukhamasyadam paradare chetas samadhiyadam. Always looking for solitude away from the crowd, to remain in that state. Otherwise it is difficult. How will you conduct reflection or mananam when you are all the time busy with the society? What's the possibility? It will not happen. That means, in order that to understand, and not only understand, to realize Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita and all, we require some solitude and situation where ekande sukhamasridam, loneliness, ekanda stage, paradare cheda samadhiyadam. Only in that state, these higher thoughts will develop inside. Cheda samadhiyadam. Purnalma susamikshadam jagadidam talbhadidam drishyadam. That the influence of the world will go away in that situation. And then what one has to do? Get absorbed in Krishna. Get absorbed in Krishna. And because the very benefit of being alone is, our senses will go inward. That's the benefit from the solitude. The mind will go inward looking. This is advantage by being alone. The mind will go inward looking. And so, otherwise, if you do not go with this process, what is spoken there, control of the senses will be very, very difficult. Naturally, what will happen? If there is no Vairagyam, and if you are left alone, suppose there is no Vairagyam, what will happen? We'll go after TV. Is it not? That's a natural, normal tendency. Suppose there is no Vairagyam inside, but you are alone, then you want a company, and the company is TV. Company is TV. So, egandasthiti, samrodhe karanam nirandarabhyasam. So, by practice, one who has got control on the senses and the mind, for that person, mind will take to the process of self-realization easily. When there is vairagyam inside, and one whose senses are under control, it is easier for the mind to take to the process of self-realization. So, and he will get established in that state very easily. And nirandarabhyavashat tat itham pakvam ano brahmaniliyade padam tatha samadhi savikalpa varjidaha advayananda rasanubhavaha. Acharya mentions there that only by constant practice, nirandara abhyasa sthiti, constantly practicing this, one will develop this strength for solitude and able to go inward looking. This mananam process, what we have spoken so many times, is not something you can do very easily. Unless the mind is in a shanti state, senses are under control, and a certain amount of shanti is inside for mananam to happen. So, and Krishna mentions this, without abhyasam it is not possible. By practice, by practice. Without abhyasam or practice, nothing is possible. And these two things Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita. You remember? Abhyasenadu kaunteya vairagyanaja grihyate. Which verse is that? The sixth chapter, I think. Chanchalam hi mana Krishna pramadi balaval dradam abhyasenadu kaunteya vairagyanaja grihyate. If you look in the sixth chapter, 35, yeah? Bhagavan Vajam Asamshayam Mahabaho Mano Durnigraham Chalam Abhyasenadu Kaunteya Vairagyena Jagrihyate. Lord Krishna says, O mighty armed son of Kunti, it is undoubtedly very difficult to curb the restless mind, but it is possible by suitable practice and by detachment. So Vairagyam and Abhyasam, Krishna has spoken in the sixth chapter. And that is exactly what Bhikshu is trying to do here. He has got Vairagyam already by Krishna's grace. Now he is going to practice it. Abhyasam. So, Abhyasa Vairagyam, two things. Abhyasenada Kaunteya Vairagyanaja Grihyate. Krishna has spoken that in the Bhagavad Gita. So, if there is Abhyasam and Vairagyam, it is not new thing what Krishna has spoken there. Why? This is already there in the Patanjali's Yoga Sutra. That is where Krishna has taken it out from there. You have to remember, Bhagavad Gita is a summary of Brahma Sutra and Patanjali's Yoga Sutra, Jaimini's Karma Sutra, Mahabharata and Upanishads. All these things put into a package is Bhagavad Gita. Much before Bhagavad Gita spoken to Arjuna, Patanjali's Yoga Sutra existed. Vedavyasa Maharshi's Brahma Sutra was there. And Mahabharatam was there. Because it is in Mahabharatam, Bhagavad Gita comes in. So, when Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita, he took this knowledge of the Upanishads, Kathopanishad, Kanopanishad, Taittiriya, all different statements you will see, Upanishad verses coming in at different places. If you remember, we mentioned many times where these verses come from, where that verses come from. So, all these things brought together, Krishna has brought together and gave us Bhagavad Gita. Gave us Bhagavad Gita. So, similarly here, Krishna has taken this from Patanjali's Yoga Sutra, Abhyasam and Vairagyam, the two principles. And only if these two forces, the force of Abhyasam and the force of Vairagyam, if these two forces are there, only in that case, the mind will go to the soul, to Atma. Mind can go and stay in the soul. You can't get anything free, because if you get something free, it won't last. It won't last. So this thing called effort, it can go in two directions. Either it can go into the world, whichever way you like it. This effort, what we call it, is a kind of energy in everybody. Everybody has that energy, isn't it? And that energy won't remain idle. Either it will go outside in the world and work, that energy, or it will go inside and get dissolved in its source, where it's coming from the Atma. So if it does not go into the Atma, it will go outside and engage in the world. This is the way that energy operates in us, in all of us. So, therefore, prayatna, Krishna says that due to abhyasam, nirandara abhyasam ashad itham manaha pakvam brahmaniliyate. Continuous practice of this, cultivate this vairagyam and vivekam, discriminative power, all these things we have to cultivate and develop it within ourselves through knowledge and through training. Vairagyam and Vivekam. Vivekam is that knowledge of what Krishna is saying there. And Krishna is saying to us that Abhyasenadu Kaunteya Vairagyanaja Grihyade. It is something, when we have these things going on, it is then the grace comes. Krishna's grace comes. When there is Vairagyam, when there is, fortunately in our Bhikshu's case, he got Vairagyam. That is Krishna's grace. But prior to that, Krishna has pulled him through a real hard time, is it not? Before giving that vairagyam, took away everything from him first. Everything was taken out from him. The world completely rejected him, Bhikshu. Insulted him, treated him extremely in a bad way. And then Krishna gave him vairagyam. It is after that vairagyam comes to him. So you can see there, that these things, vairagya vivekam, if you develop vairagyam through knowledge, it's the best. But in Bhikshu's case, it didn't happen like that. Many people's case, it didn't happen. Patanatara also, it didn't happen like that through knowledge. It's grace again. But there are certain people, in same instances, it has happened through knowledge. It can happen through knowledge. Because jnanam and vairagyam, they go together always. So, Like a farmer does the cultivation, we have to cultivate this vairagyam, and this is called spiritual agriculture. We have the modern agriculture in the field, we go outside and cultivate, isn't it? Growing different grains or vegetables, whatever cultivation we do. Similarly, in the field of spiritual life also, we have to grow these things, these plants, vairagyam and vivekam or discrimination, and for that, otherwise it won't happen. And that is where sadhana comes. Sadhana comes there. Sadhana, tapasya, and vivekam, vairagyam, all these things, shamam, damam, ubaradi, tidiksha, shraddha, samadhanam, so many things spoken in the shastram for a person who is trying to advance in the path of spiritual life. So, if everything is going on, these things, jiva, has to put effort in and try to earn all these things. And along with that, if Krishna's grace comes in, and it will complete the whole thing, process. That is how it happens. That one who has, this Bhikshu's case is an exceptional case. That you have to remember. It's not everybody is going to happen like it has happened to Bhikshu. He may have done things in his past life, which has made him qualified for this, but due to some prarabdham, he had to go through this in his life. That's what has happened to Bhikshu. We should never compare ourselves with the Bhikshu. That will be a big mistake. Bhikshu's case, what has happened was in his previous life, some lifetimes, he had conducted enough abhyasam vairagyam, but there was still some prarabdham to go through, so he came in this way, and he had to suffer through this, but that Krishna does not take his account only from this life. He takes our previous accounts also into the calculation. So Krishna decided that he has gone through the prarabdham and given him that vairagyam at that time. But an average people like us who don't have anything to our credit, Krishna is expecting that we conduct these qualifications, what Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita, shamam, damam, titiksha, ubaradi, shraddha, samadhanam, which we have discussed many times what they are, plus vairagyam, all these things and cultivation of them through knowledge. And if one is practicing that, abhyasam is there, abhyasa vairagyam, both are happening, that at some point in time, like it happened to the Bhikshu, that Krishna's grace will come to everybody. So, the further you move in this direction, we progress in that path, accordingly, to that extent, there will be shanti inside. So, due to the continuous striving for or abhyasam, due to that, the samadhi sthiti or samahita sthiti, that nature will build up in a person. Samahita sthiti will build up in a person. You have to remember, when you are trying to go in spiritual direction, prarabdham will pull you back, will not let you go easily. It is a very, very powerful force that's working in all our life. Prarabdham will pull you back. And therefore, when you are trying to get this mind under control, samahita sthiti or samadhi sthiti, but that habit will come to a person if you put some effort into it. That nature of developing spiritual nature, that will come to him. And little by little, it will come to a person. Slowly, but it will happen. What is that? To always to sit in a peaceful state and not allowing the mind to wander in the world. Mind taking serious interest in spiritual path. More inward looking, trying to inquire about the truth. And to support all that, Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam is present for us. Upanishads, all this knowledge in the spiritual literature is only to help this process of samahita sthiti, to help this mind which has been wandering around in the world for a long, long period of time, able to withdraw from the world and go on its own way. And that is what Krishna is saying here. So even if you experience a little bit of that, there will be some happiness from that. And so shanti, that peace, steadiness, vairagyam, and in that has to happen through thought power. Proper analysis. That's why Bhartrahari gave us this Vairagya Shatakam. There is another book, Niti Shatakam. There's so many literature available, all pointing out towards this one thing of Vairagyam. Vairagyam. And in solitude, if you sit and read Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, it will have its effect. Alone. Not in the in a group, sit together. For example, just like you will see that majority of the people are not able to do it. That's the fact. So what they do, they think that at least once a year, let's get on Gita Jayanti day, sit together, read all the 700 verses. And if you ask that person before they start reading and at the end of the reading, what have you understood? You think Bhagavad Gita you can digest in a few hours like that? People have said, Samastha Vedartha Sara Sangraha Bhudam. Ajari Swami says there. And if we try to, but that is because they are not able to do anything else. That's why they are helpless about it. So at least it's not that it's wrong completely. At least they are hearing Krishna's words. That is its benefit. But more than that, what Krishna is, if you are serious about spiritual life, that's not good enough. That's the point. It's okay that to hear once a year, at least you are hearing Bhagavad Gita, that's good. But that's not good enough. That's the point. Studying Bhagavad Gita means that, as I mentioned before, samastha vedartha sara sangraha bhudam. He says, you think when Krishna packaged Bhagavad Gita from Upanishads, Mahabharatam, Yoga Sutram, Brahma Sutram, Karma Sutram, and all Upanishads, and the Puranas, everything comes into Bhagavad Gita. And do you think we can digest it in a few hours like that? Many great souls have that is Krishna's unique contribution to this world, this Bhagavad Gita. The way Krishna brought everything together, the whole Vedic knowledge in a masterpiece, that's Bhagavad Gita. And that is why Ajari Swamiji, in the very beginning itself of Bhagavad Gita, he says here, samastha veda artha sara sangraha bhudam. Durvijnayartham, he says. He is saying this, durvijnayartham, not anybody else. He is saying durvijnayartham. That means, it's not even easy to get the message properly. It is so difficult. It is so difficult. And that you can see when you read the Bhashyam, commentary on the Bhagavad Gita, how deeply one has to understand the Upanishads, other Yoga Sutram, Brahma Sutram, Karma Sutram, Jaimini's Karma Sutram, Patanjali's Yoga Sutram, Vedavyasa Maharshi's Brahma Sutram, or what we call as Vedanta Sutram, All this is in the Bhagavad Gita. This is what it is. So, the important thing is that in the sixth chapter, Krishna will mention this, that it is not going to be easy. Krishna knows this. And so what did he say? Shanai, shanai, yubaramet. Remember that verse? Sixth chapter, 25 I think, the words. 625. Krishna says, don't rush. Do it slowly. It's not, because he knows that in 5 hours, if it was possible in 5 hours, he would have said that, isn't it? All you need is 5 hours, he would have said. But he didn't say that. What did he say? He said, shanai, shanai, rupanamid. What is he? 20? 25. 25, yeah. Shanai, shanai, rupanamid. Buddhya dhriti grihitaya. Atma samstam mane krutva na kinjil abhichindayed. That's that verse. He says, gradually, step by step, one should become situated in trance by means of intelligence, sustained by full conviction, and thus the mind should be fixed on the self alone and should think of nothing else. Shanai shanai rubaramed, buddhya dhriti grihidaya, atma samstam mane krutva na kinjil abhichintayet. So Krishna knows the problem that we are not going to make it so easily. So he also told us in a loving way, shanai shanai rubaramed. And we have taken it very seriously. Shanai shanai rubaramed. There is no rush for us also. We are saying, because Krishna has told us like that. Krishna didn't tell us that shanai shanai rubaramed means that you can take your own time. That's not what it means. What Krishna is saying is that you need that determination inside, but you have to be continuously absorbed in that. That is what shanai shanai rubaramed means. Shanai shanai rubaramed doesn't mean that you take your own time. You know, like, you know, there are some courses in the university. You can take as much time as you want. Semester by semester you finish, isn't it? So you do 2 or 3 semesters, then you take a break for 1 or 2 years, and then another semester. By the time you finish the whole thing, it was a system like that in German university. I don't know whether it's still there. Open university like that, yeah. In universities in Germany, they had a system like that. So what used to happen was students from India who came to Germany to study, they had realized the difficulty. There were people in the hostel who were 45, 50 years old, and they were still doing this course, which in normal situation were taking 2 or 3 years, meant to be finished in 2-3 years, about 4 or 5 semesters. But because it was difficult and it was taking time, they will take a break and then go and then have wife and children and then come back and they'll do the remaining semesters. Like that it was going on. So that is not what Krishna is saying here. Shanai shanai rubaramed means. Shanai shanai rubaramed means that do not rush into it and thinking that you can control all very easily. You'll get a grip over it very easily. That's not going to happen. Why? Durvijnayartham. It is most difficult thing. The knowledge of the Bhagavad Gita. But because Krishna says, if you develop these qualities necessary, shamam, damam, tidiksha, ubharati, shraddha, samadhanam, vivegam, vairagyam, all these things will help, Krishna says, buddhya, dhriti, grihidaya. So, developing that samskara inside, with the power of that samskaram once who develops inside, with the power of that abhyasam, one has to learn to absorb the mind in the soul. Absorb the mind in the soul. And as and when when you are situated in that soul, situation with the soul, you are properly situated, Krishna says, as and when the mind goes to the world outside, that means bahirmukham. Bahirmukham means the mind going to the world outside. Andarmukham means going inwards. So, if it is going outside, why does it happen? Because purva abhyasam. In the earlier, our abhyasam was to send the mind to the world. Is it not? That's purva abhyasam. So, it's only due to the abhyasam practice, the mind works. Everything depends on what practice it has got. If the practice was always to go out in the world and engage there, then the mind will sometimes go out in the world because of purva abhyasam. So, in the Bahirmukham external state, in order to bring it inwards, that means to unwind that Purva Abhyasam, previous Abhyasam, you require Pratyagabhyasam, it's called. Pratyagabhyasam means inward going business. This outward going business is Purva Abhyasam. That's what we have done before we read Bhagavad Gita, is it not? In the world, conquering the world, and that's what we are busy with. So, that is Purva Abhyasam. So, if Purva Abhyasam has to go, then Pratyagabhyasam is necessary to direct the mind inwardly. So whatever we have practiced in our life, in this life and previous lives, mind will follow that. That is the well-known rule. So, mind will go accordingly to the world outside. So, a person who is engaged in sadhana or yoga process, what is his duty? Again and again, bringing it back inwards. Bringing it back inwards. You can't look at Bhagavad Gita and say that, oh, Bhagavad Gita is talking about Ashtanga Yogam, it has nothing to do with me. Bhagavad Gita is talking about Jnana Yogam, nothing to do with me. It is not like that. Bhagavad Gita is helping a person to advance in the spiritual path. So, to advance in the spiritual path, whatever that is necessary, from whichever yoga process is required, you have to take it. Whether it is from Patanjali's Yoga Sutram, whether it is Vedavyasa Maharshi's Brahma Sutram, or Jaimini's Karma Sutram, which was discussed in the earlier chapters. All that is required in this process of spiritual progress, spiritual path. So, that is why you can't reject any chapter. People of this nature, thinking that, oh, I'm following the bhakti process. So, all other chapters don't apply to me, only 12 chapters apply to me. This is their understanding. That's wrong. That's not right. Every chapter, because Bhagavad Gita is the basis for spiritual life. Anybody in the spiritual life, he has to accept the whole of Bhagavad Gita. You can't take it out anything from that separately. The whole package is necessary. That's why in the 6th chapter, Krishna is saying there, very next words, what does he say? Yato yato nischarati manas chanjalam astiram tatastato niyam meidal atmanyeva vasham nayed. Yato yato nischarati nischalati manas chanjalam astiram tatastato niyam meidal atmanyeva vasham nayed. From wherever the mind wanders due to its flickering and unsteady nature, one must carefully withdraw it and bring it back under the control of the self. Under the control of the self. So, this is also part of the spiritual process Krishna is mentioning here. So, and Krishna said that in the Bhagavad Gita, yasmat karanat manas bahischarati. Why the mind goes outside? Whatever reason mind is going outside. Doesn't matter for what reason. It can be due to various reasons the mind can go out. Is it not? Mind can go out for various reasons, why our mind will go into the world. Attachment to sense objects, mind will go into the world. In the Bhikshu's case, what was the problem? Miserliness. That's what was taking the mind outside into the world. Because while dealing with the world, he was very miserly, isn't it? He won't give anything to anybody. Even his own wife and children, he won't give anything. So, to everyone, he dealt with them. And he saw everybody as a problem. Oh, he's going to come and ask me something. How can I avoid giving him anything? So that means, due to that miserly nature, the mind will go out into the world. As soon as he sees someone, he feels, oh, he's going to ask something. What should I? So that means you are preparing himself to deal with him in a way that he does not want to share anything with that person. So, so in his case, miserliness was the problem. In others' cases, it will be something else. But one thing or the other, it will create this, what you call as vikshiptam. It's called vikshiptam. Vikshiptam state means, which creates vikshepam inside. So, so that means, if the mind is not peaceful inside, that means we have some problem inside. That's why it is happening. That's why it's happening. Or there's something what is causing the mind to go into the world. So, one has to find out that and get himself free from that. So, in the intelligence in these cases is, suppose somebody is very miserly, what is this Shastram Rishi says to us? To come out of that, Vidyarani Swamiji says a solution for that. Durvasana Pratikara Dashakam. He wrote a, Vidyarani Swamiji wrote Panchadashi book. You can buy this. It's also on the web, I think. Durvasana Pratikara Dashakam. It's a Durvasana inside. We all have different Durvasanas inside. How to counteract that Durvasana? He wrote a verse, 10 verses on that. Durvasana Pratikara Dashakam. There he mentions there that if you have this problem, miserliness inside, the solution to that problem is give plenty. You may think, oh, somebody's come to rip you off then. No, that's not the idea. For spiritual benefit, one has to do that. That if you feel that giving is difficult, that if something is blocking inside, this block is all due to vasanas inside, nothing else. So if that is a problem, Vidyarani Swamiji is saying, give plenty and you will come out of that problem. Come out of that problem. And this is quite common in Ayurveda also. This disease is there. This kind of problem is there. So, for example, certain illnesses, it does not cure very easily. It doesn't get cured easily. Some chronic illnesses. And the physicians know very well that it's impossible to cure them. So what will they say to you? They'll say to you that the problem is a little bit more complex than what we have thought about it. But they understand that give a lot of charity, they'll say. Give a lot of charity and that way you will come out of this problem. Because they know that this disease has come due to miserliness inside. So, and if a lot of it is given like that, that tightness inside, the knot, it will get loosened up. It will get loosened up. And all the nerves will get loosened up and the disease will go. This is how the Ayurveda treats this disease in that way. And for certain illnesses, not for all illnesses, certain illnesses, they will say to people to give in charity. And some people have got anger problem, isn't it? Anger, krodham. Krodham comes. How to win krodham, anger? That's a big thing. Nowadays they have anger management, isn't it? Courses on anger management. But krodham, the answer for that is how to remain in solitude, in shanti. That's the solution for krodham. You'll see this often, that when anger comes, best thing is to go into a room, close the door and stay in shanti state. Otherwise, if you interact with the world, krodham will get worse. Anger will get worse. So, by practicing that, in that way, shanti, you have to win over anger. You have to win over anger. Similarly, desire. Desires are coming. How will you win over desires? So, desires, they say, you have to win over desires by not desiring. Everything is not easy. If desires are building up through knowledge, one has to counteract the desiring problem. You know how it is, desires, especially when one is young, and when you see so many things in this world, you want that. You want everything, isn't it? So, a nice car, if you see, you say, oh, I would like to drive that car. I wouldn't mind having one of that. Similarly, so many things. And companies know this, and they manufacture many, many goods and put it in the market. And they are looking for those customers like that. They'll come and buy everything. And some people's houses, they have bought so much. Whole house is full of different things. And then they're crying how to get rid of it. They are also struggling for that. One day they put it everything together to the skip and put it in the skip. So, why? But they couldn't stop buying. They had to buy. If they don't buy, they won't get sleep. What they call in the modern world, they call it as shopaholic or something. Isn't it? Shopping. They don't need it, but they have to buy it. That sort of mood develops in people. So, that is due to desires inside. That has to be controlled through knowledge. There is no other way. So, if all this is known, And that is a way to come over this mind through the yoga process. So if nothing is possible, egadadhyabhyasam. What does that mean? If these things are not possible through these means, then there is only one possibility, to chant the holy name. To chant the holy name. Everything has its own effect on the mind. Whether you follow the process of knowledge and control the different emotions by following that process, like Vidyarani Swamiji says there, if that's not possible and it's not working, then the next alternative is to chant the holy name. To chant the holy name. Because just like you take the medicine, keep on chanting the holy name, desires will go. Keep on chanting the holy name, anger will go away. Keep on chanting the holy name, and all miserliness and all other difficulties, what we have inside, that will also go away. So, so like in the Ayurveda, that is normal, that certain medicines, once they have diagnosed the illness, they'll tell you, this medicine you may have to take for many, many years to cure this illness. So similarly, this holy name is also like that. For a long period of time, you have to chant the holy name. And little by little, if you do that, he says there that you can come out of that problem. So chanting the holy name can, purification, what we call it as purification. Purification of what? Purification of this mind, isn't it? And you can, how does it work? Just like you can see this water tap, when it leaks, it will start dripping, 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 isn't it? All the time. And, but if it drips, drips, and you put a bucket underneath that, after a while the bucket will get full. Similarly, this holy name also, if you keep on chanting for a long period of time, egadattva tadabhyasam avrti. That means continuously chanting, like that drip, it will eventually fill inside and purify us. So, that means egi bhav. Egi bhav means not allowing the mind to go anywhere else except on the holy name, to stay on the holy name. That way, the mind will come to shanti state and it will change the situation. So, knowing all these things only, rishis have given us various instructions on this. If you look into the Vedic literature, you will see there, on the top level, it is the Veda, Shruti. It is called Shruti. After Shruti comes Smriti. Smriti means what the rishis have given to us based on the Vedas for our day-to-day living, how to conduct ourselves in this world. And there is so much written in the Smriti for us to live a life in the proper way in this world. Then, after that comes, after the Shruti and Smriti, comes the the other Itihasams, Ramayanam, Mahabharatam and everything. It is after that all the Puranams comes, including Srimad Bhagavatam. It is in that category. So, when the Rishis met Valmiki, Valmiki's earlier life was, his name was Ratnakara, isn't it? Ratnakara. So, they understood that while Ratnakara was not in a position to do anything, to get rid of these anarthas from inside, so they told him, even chanting holy name was difficult for him, so they told him to chant the name Rama 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 Rama, which then developed into Rama Rama. So what does he do there? That instead of allowing the mind to wander around and create a lot of chittavritti inside, if one chants the holy name, chittavritti will come down. Thoughts won't develop. If the thoughts are developing inside, it means the mind is all over. Mind is going everywhere. If chittavritti, that is a symptom of that. If there's a lot of chittavritti building up inside, thought waves inside, that means then the mind is wandering everywhere. But by chanting the holy name, eventually the mind will listen and it will stop this wandering business and it will come to one steady state. So, holy name's strength is there. So, so to make that happen, First thing is making that decision to chant. Decision to chant the holy name. So here, Bhikshu decided that Vairagyam had come to me. Vairagyam had come to me. And one thing, Vairagyam had happened to him. Secondly, he felt very strongly inside that I wasted my life. I wasted my life. So that is the first step. We ourselves have to feel that we have wasted our life. We have to feel ourselves. We shouldn't think, oh, my life was very successful. Just because my career was successful, that's all useless. We have to always think that our whole life is a waste of time. That realization. And combined with that, if there is a little grace from Krishna and Vairagyam has come, then it will work. In Vairagya Shatakam, Bhartrihari mentions this. Very specifically, he says there, Adityasya gadagadai aharaha samshiyade jivitam. And vyabhare bahugarya bharam gurubhi kalevina yayate. Drishtva, it is verse 43. Drishtva janma jara vipatti maranam tradascha nolpadyate pitva mohamayim pramadam adiram unmatta bodham jagat. These are all famous verses in the Bhartrihari's book, in the Vairagya Shatakam. Adityasya gadagadairaharaha samkshiyade jivitam vyabhare bahugarya bhara gurubi kalobina jnayate drishtva janma jara vipatti maranam trayascha nolpadyate pitva mohamayim pramadam adira unmatta bhutam jagat. Daily the sun is rising and setting and the life is over. That day is over, isn't it? Body is ready to go. But because we are so busy in our life, because of the different affairs we have got to sort out here, and or because of all those activities, we are not even conscious of the sunrise and sunset. Adityasya gadagadai aharaha samshiyade jividam. With rising and sun, rising and setting of the sun every day, samshiyade jividam, life is running out, time is running out. At the same time, vyapare bahugarya bhara gurubhi. We have a lot of vyaparam, vyavaharam going on here. Bahugarya bhara gurubhi, and there is not one vyavaharam. So many vyavaharam going on, vyaparam, business. Bahugarya bhara gurubi, and the bahugarya means many, many things, and they are all very urgent and they are all very demanding. Bahugarya bhara gurubi, very demanding things. Kalobina jayate, but time is not waiting for that. Drishtva janma jara vipatti maranam trayascha nolpadyate. And when all this is going on, we are not even frightened about what janma jara vipatti maranam, birth, death, old age and all the sufferings. We are not even conscious of that because we are too busy with all the other things. And he says, pitva mohamayim pramadam adira unmatta bhutam jagat. He says here, world has become mad. Pitva mohamayim. This illusion it has drunk. This illusion so strongly, pramadam adira, pramadam has built up inside. Pramadam is that drink he has taken, alcohol, drink he has taken called pramadam. So, pitva mohamayim pramadam adiram unmatta bodham jagat. That he is completely intoxicated with that wine of illusion, of this illusion. This is our, everybody's life in this world, is it not? So, why Bhartrihari says all these things is that with all these things in the background, unless we come out of this, it's impossible to engage in any mananam, isn't it? How can there be any mananam when somebody is so absorbed in the world? It is not possible. That's what he's saying here. So, sun rises and sets, and every day, the life is running out. And But still, you are doing so many things in this world, very serious you are about that. What you are doing, you are very serious about that. And if you ask anything, oh, I don't have the time, I'm too busy. And you don't know that the time is running out. And there is nothing in life helping you to develop this awareness of the time that's running out. And no discrimination is coming in life because nothing has happened in life yet. So, janma jara vibhakti maranam. So many people are taking birth, so-called family, friends and all, and they are dying and going away. They are coming and they are going in your life. Coming into your life and they are going from your life. And so many diseases are coming and going, and after seeing all these things, still there is no movement inside us. We are still carrying on. Oh well, somebody died, they say, we say, oh, something must have happened to him. It won't happen to me. It can only happen to him. This close conviction inside. So, why is it happened like that? Because he's saying, pitva mohamayim, that the drink, what he has taken inside, he is intoxicated with the drink, and that drink is moham, and it has affected his brain. It has affected his brain, lost his sense of discrimination, and because of that, vairagyam is not happening to him. So here, Bichu had vairagyam. Bichu had vairagyam. And therefore, he was able to come out of it and walk away in this world. And Bicham Dehi means looking for Bicha, for food. But Bicham, he walked in this world as Bicham for Bicha. That is not the important thing. That is not the important side. Not that because he has become a Bichu and wandered around in the world for Bicha, for food. That is not the important part. The important part is he walked around this world with knowledge, with power of knowledge behind it. That is the important side to it. Not that, oh, he became a bhikshu and wandered in the world looking for food as a bhikshu. That is not the important thing. Important thing is he wandered around in this world with proper knowledge. Knowledge of the self, the proper knowledge of the self. That is the state more important than anything else. So, there are many people who are wandering around in the world looking for food, isn't it? Asking for bhicham dehi. But they don't have jnanam or vairagyam. Neither jnanam nor vairagyam. Because it's spoken about that very strongly, that this vairagyam and jnanam, without knowledge if it happens, that is useless. That is useless. It says here, Karadala bitta taridala vasam tadabina munchadi asha pasham. In that prayers, Bhajagovindam. Agre vanni prashte bhanu ratro uchibuga samarpida janu karadala bitta taridala vasam tadabina munchadi asha pasham. There are many, many sannyasis and bhikshus, avadudas, who live underneath the tree. Karatala bhikshu taridala vasam. They will accept food only in the hand. Karatala bhikshu. And then, what else? Taridala vasam. They will live underneath the tree. To that extent, they are renounced. But that is not good enough. Why? Tadavena munjadi ashavasam. Desires have not gone away from inside. So, that kind of vairagyam is not good. Is not enough. Vairagyam with knowledge. That is what important, what has happened to this bhikshu. So, there are many people who are taking bhikshu, but this has not happened. They are not vairagis. They don't have vairagyam. And they are thinking sometimes how to become rich tomorrow again. They have been put into that situation and they are dreaming about that. So, here our bhikshu had become proper, vairagyam has come to him, and he travelled in that way, taking bhiksha. We'll have a short break. Chedo darpana marjanam vamaha davagni nirvavanam shrayakaidava chandriya vidaranam vidhyavadhu jivanam anandam budivardhanam pradipada purnamada swadhanam sarvatma savanam varam vijayade ಶ್ರೀಕೃಷ್ಣ ಸಂಕೀರ್ತನಂ ನಾಮನಾಮಗಾರಿ ಬಹುದಾ ನಿಜ ಸರ್ವಶಕ್ತಿ ತತ್ರಾರ್ಪಿತಾ ನೇಮಿತಾ ಸ್ಮರಣೇನ ಕಾಲ ಏದಾದೃಶೀ ತವ ಕೃಪಾ ಭಗವನ್ ಮಮಾಭಿ ದುರ್ದೈವಮೀದೃಶ ವಿಹಾ ಜನಿತಾನುರಾಗಾ ಪುನಾರವಿಷಣೀಚೇನ ತರೋರವಿ ಸಹಿಷ್ಣುನ ಅಮಾನಿನಾಮಾನದೇನ ಕೀರ್ತನೀಯ ಸದಾ ಹರಿ ನಧನಂ ನ ಜನಂ ನ ಸುಂದರೀಂ ಕವಿದಾಂ ವಾ ಜಗದೀಶ ಕಾಮಯೇ ಮಮ ಜನ್ಮನಿ ಜನ್ಮನೀಶ್ವರಿ ಭವದಾತ್ ಭಕ್ತಿರಹೈ ದುಗಿತ್ವಯಿ ಅಯಿ ನಂದನನುಜಕಿಂಕರಂ ಪತಿತಾಂ ವೃಷಭೇ ಭವಾಂಬುಧೌ ಕೃಪಯಾ ತವ ಪಾದಭಂಗಜಸ್ಥಿತಧೂಳಿ ಸದೃಶಂ ವಿಚಿಂತಯ ನಯನಂ ಗಣದಶ್ರುಧಾರಯ ವದನಂ ಗದ್ಗದಗ್ಧಯ ಗಿರ ಪುಲಕೈರ್ನಿಜಂ ಕದಾ ವಪೋ ತವನ್ನಾಮಗ್ರಹಣೇ ಭವಿಷ್ಯತಿ ಯುಗಾಯಿದಂ ನಿವೇಶೇನ ಚಕ್ಷುಷಾ ಪ್ರಾವಿಶಾಯಿದಂ ಜಗಲ್ ಸರ್ವಂ ಗೋವಿಂದ ವಿರಹೇ ನಮೇ ಶಿಷ್ಯ ವಾ ಪಾದರಿದಾಂ ತಿನಿಷ್ಟು ಮಾಂ ಅದರ್ಶನಾಂ ಮರ್ಮಹದಾಂ ಕರೋತು ವಾ ಯಥಾ ತದಾ ವಾ ವಿದದಾ ನಿಲಂಬನೋ ಮಲ್ಪ್ರಾಣನಾಥ ಸುನೇವನಾಪರಾಹ ಸೊ ವೈರಾಗ್ಯಂ ವಿತ್ ಜ್ಞಾನಂ ಇನ್ ದಿ ಭಾಗವತಂ ಆಲ್ಸೋ ಯು ವಿಲ್ ಸೇ ದಿಸ್ ದಟ್ ಭಕ್ತಿ ಮದರ್ Vairagyam and Jnanam, the children. In Padma Puranam, that is how Bhakti Devi is positioned. Bhakti has got two children. So if the mother is strong, the children will be good, healthy. If the mother is not strong, Bhakti is not there, Vairagyam and Jnanam also won't be good. So our Bhikshu became Vairagyam, has come to him, but he has got knowledge as well. That is Krishna's grace. And he was traveling with and begging for the food, bhiksha, and all other people, they were, and he is taking this bhiksha from the same place where he lived before. So all those people have taken note of him, what he was doing now, who knew him before, and immediately the all enmity what they had towards him came out. They were inimical to him before because of his miserliness. And that hate came up, and now they are saying, look at him, what was his state before, how wealthy he was, look at him now. So, and now he is wandering around in the street without a proper clothing, and he has started a new way of life now, and with this water pot and the dandam, everything, and this is all new plans to make more money. They started talking about it like that. You can never trust him, he says. ಅಹೋ ಏಷ ಮಹಾಸಾರೋ ಧೃತಿಮಾನ್ ಗಿರಿರಾಡಿವ ಮೌನೇನ ಸಾಧಯರ್ತತ್ಯಂ ಭಗವಲ್ ದೃಢ ನಿಶ್ಚಯಾಹ ಸೇಯಿಂಗ್ ದಿಸ್ ದೇ ಗೇವ್ ಹಿಮ್ ಎ ಲಾಟ್ ಆಫ್ ಟ್ರಬಲ್ ಅಂಡ್ ವೆನ್ ಹಿ ಬ್ರಾಟ್ ಫುಡ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ಸಮ್ವೇರ್ ದೇ ಹವ್ ಪಾಸ್ಡ್ ಯೂರಿನ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಅದರ್ ಥಿಂಗ್ಸ್ ಇನ್ ಟು ದಟ್ ಥ್ರೂ ದೇ ಆರ್ ದಂಡೈವೇ ಅಂಡ್ ಟೋನ್ ಹಿಸ್ ಕ್ಲೋಕ್ಸ್ ವಾಟ್ ಹಿ ವಾಸ್ ವೇರಿಂಗ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಪುಟ್ ಸೋ ಮೆನಿ ಥಿಂಗ್ಸ್ ಆನ್ ಹಿಸ್ ಹೆಡ್ ಅಂಡ್ they took away his maravuri, that is that the bark of tree, what he was wearing, that he took away. And why did they do all these things? Who knows? There's no answer to that question. The only thing to remember is this, that there will be people like that in this world who will do such things. And there will always be people in this world. Without any reason, they will give trouble to great personalities like this bhikshu. They have given him a lot of trouble. And in this way, they gave him so much. Paribodha imam ghadam aghayata naradhamai padayalbi swadharmasto dhuti astaya satvigim. 42nd verse, Krishna is saying there. That even though in spite of all these things happen, many people have come and asked him and why did this happen? What has he done for this, for such a treatment? When all these things are happening, Bhikshu is saying, I am not affected by any of these things. Look at that state inside. When world is giving him all this problem, Bhikshu is saying, I am not having any struggle, I am not affected by that. So, Nayam Janome Sugadukha Hedo Na Devadalpa Griha Karma Kalam ಮನಪರಂ ಕಾರಣ ಕಮಮನಂದಿ ಸಂಸಾರ ಚಕ್ರಂ ಪರಿವರ್ತಯೇ ಭೂಲ್. ಸೊ This Bhikshugidam is something worthwhile reading every time, as much as possible. It's only 15, 16 verses. From verse 43 to 58, 15 verses. If you read these verses time and again, it will give some spiritual understanding, spiritual strength inside. Because when we get distress, problems in life, what's our normal tendency? What do we do normally? What we do is, first thing what we will find who is responsible for that. Isn't it? It's a universal thing. All over the world, when we have a problem, we'll say, he is responsible, she is responsible, somebody else is responsible. Isn't it? So, problem is this, because of that I am suffering, because somebody else has done this to me. And similarly, when we get happiness also, we think that somebody outside is responsible for that. Happiness also in the same way. And because this is the misunderstanding or illusion in our head, or the way we have trained ourselves to think in that way, we will think that somebody else outside is responsible for our happiness here or distress here. For example, you can see that some people feel, if I get married to this girl, or the girl thinks, if I get married to this boy, I will be happy in my life. What a strong misconception that is it not? I know experience will tell us that. Both sides make the mistake. The girl is thinking, if I get married to this boy, I will be happy. Provided I get married to him, I like him, he likes me, everything is favorable. And she is thinking this way. The boy is thinking, my life is going to be from now on, everything going to be fantastic. He's going to go flying from now on because I got my right person, right partner in my life. So he decides like that. And for that purpose, he is planning, he is going to struggle very hard to get his right choice and right selection, everything. Sometimes it even ends up disagreement with the parents on this issue. And sometimes they reject everything, whatever the norms are, and they go and marry somebody, and then goes on like this. And you will notice, okay, quite often, after many years, the very same people will say, only because I married her, I got into this trouble. And she will say, only because I married you, I'm in this problem today. The very same people, before marriage, what did they say? And this drama is repeating all the time in this world. Is it not? Everywhere you will see this. There is no place exception to this. They are all universal things. Everywhere people get married, before marriage, they think that they have made the right choice and they got married. And it didn't last very long. After a while, they are saying mutually arguments, fights, everything starts. And they are saying to each other that after a long time they are saying that because of you only my life has become like this. They'll say like that. So, because of my husband, it's my whole misery life like this. Often wives will say that. And husband will say, because of that wife, my life has become like this. So many husbands say this, and so many wives also say the same song. They sing. Bhikshu is singing that. That's why Bhikshu's song. Bhikshu's song. That's why Bhikshugita is so interesting for us, householders. Very interesting for householders. Because householder life is like that. One time when you got married, you were thinking every time it is going to be fantastic. But then you start realizing what a situation has happened in life. Isn't it? So, they are saying, because of wife, all my problems, husband is saying. Then he is saying, if the children are there, it's they are responsible for this. Because of them, my life has become... How many parents are constantly complaining about the children? Is it not? In this world, you will hear this. And I'm not saying that there are all children will do everything what the parents are saying. They're not going to do it. So, parents' complaint is, children are not listening. That's their distress, isn't it? They're not listening. So, what we have to learn is, anything outside us is a cause of distress. If you have understood that principle, what Bhikshu is teaching us, all objects outside us will be a cause of distress one day or another. If this fundamental principle, what Bhikshu Gita is teaching us, if you have analyzed it well and absorbed it inside, there will be no distress. Distress will go. There is no reason for having distress. Distress is, you are, as soon as a problem comes, the children are not listening, for example, what will you say? You will say that, because I got such a son or such a daughter who will not listen to me. And my life has completely become ruined. We have lost him, we have lost her, and she has gone her own way or his own way. If you start analyzing that direction, your life will be in misery. Your life will be misery. That is what, this is how Bhikshu escaped from this situation. He didn't blame his wife. He didn't blame his children either. He didn't blame his children either. He understood that anything outside me cannot be the cause of my distress. Cannot be the cause of my distress. It is falsely, I am identifying somebody as the cause of, they are not responsible for my distress. My wife is not responsible for my distress. My son is not responsible for my distress, he said. Nayam janomi sugadukha hetu. Nayam janomi sugadukha hetu. So, we will say like this, oh, he is responsible, she is responsible. Or sometimes we will say, government is responsible for my problems in life. And we'll say, after the selection, when the new government comes, heavenly life is going to happen here. the whole thing is going to change so drastically, this whole country is going to become like a heavenly planet. To such an extent, people have misled themselves, because they are always thinking, outside sources are responsible for my happiness and distress. That's where it's coming from. Nayam janome sukadukha hetu. The first line itself is denial of that. To deny to us that they are not responsible. They are not responsible. So, and then after the new government has come, then after a while you get fed up with that also. And then another government you are waiting for after that. The next election, 4 or 5 years, nothing has changed. Nothing has changed. And often if you look at this process now, what happens, elections and the appointment of the government, and then 5 years they will have a time. They will make sure that they will try their best to get another 5 years after that. So all that they do during their 5 years is to manipulate situations such a way for their next election. But in that process, and you will continuously see situation changing all the time, one after the other, one government after the other. So many things are happening outside, governments is changing, and people whom we are related with, wife, children, family and all that, they are also changing along with that. And we are thinking that they are all responsible for my happiness and distress. Nayam janome sugadukha hedum. And he says, na deva alpaho griha karma kalam manaparam karanam amanandi samsara chakram parivartaye bhul. So, first thing is, nothing outside is responsible for the cause of, or the cause of my distress. And there is no need to blame anyone in this world when distress comes. It is no point in reading Bhikshu Gita and acting differently. If you are accepting Bhikshu's conclusions, then you have to accept it in life, is it not? There is no point in complaining about somebody and blaming someone else when distress comes in life. But if you are listening to Bhikshu Gita and then you are not accepting it, then what's the point? Is it not? This is always happens to all of us in some stage or the other. So, when distress comes, there is no need to blame anyone in this world. Because if I found out that in the beginning itself, then I can do something about it. That it is my mind that is causing the problem, not the people outside. And suppose if you find the fault with somebody else in this world, how can you solve it? How can you solve it? It's this little question we have to ask. If the blame is somebody else outside, how can you solve it? Can I change that person? Not possible. He's not going to listen to me. If I found the problem is somewhere else, he's not going to listen to me. And how can I change that person? When the blame is within me, I am not able to change my own problem. And where is the question of me going and changing somebody else outside? That's not going to happen. So, even when I have identified the problem is within me, only up to a limit I can do something about it. Up to a limit I can do something about it. I can't repair that more than that limit. I can't repair it, isn't it? So, when it is like that, what possibility is there for me to go and change it in somebody else? When the mistake is, if you put the fault on someone else, how is it happen? So, they are not going to listen to me, first thing. And when I have found out that the fault with someone, then what do we say? We say that they should behave the way we want them to behave. That I like it. I want that person to behave in such a way that pleases me, to my liking. To my liking. So, that means only if he gives you happiness, then you will have happiness. Is it not? Only if that person gives you happiness, then you will have happiness. Practically what it means is, those who are giving happiness should always be with me. This is my subtle desire. In subtle way, that's what I am demanding. All those people who are giving happiness, they should be with me. And those who are giving me distress, they should not be with me. These two things. From the core, we are demanding this in this world. And that is how we act in this world. Which means that Bhikshu Gita has not helped him, that person. This is the core change we have to make in our approach in life. That when distress is coming from the world, not to blame anyone here outside. The correction is possible only inside. Nayam janome suga dukha hedu na devada alma griha karma kalaha manaparam karanamamanandi samsara chakram parivartaye bhul. This samsara chakram is rolling again and again because of this mind. Because of this mind. So everyone's desire is, those who are giving happiness for me should stay with me. Those who are giving distress to me, they shouldn't be here. They should have gone. So, what does Krishna does at that time? Krishna reacts to this. When you become too obsessed with that, what Krishna does is, that Krishna puts, those give distress, they will put them close with you. And those who are giving you happiness, Krishna will take them away from you. When you get too obsessed with this concept, that those who are giving happiness should stay with me, and those who are giving distress should not be with me, what Krishna does is, those who are giving distress, he will keep them with you. And those who are giving happiness, he will take them away from you. This is all common law in this world. You won't be able to change these things. That's the way Prakriti operates here. Material nature acts in that way. So, and then what will happen? You will cry. The next thing is you will cry in that way. So, these are laws of the Prakriti, material nature. Rishis, they knew these things very well, how it works. They have gone so deeply in all these issues. Therefore, they told us, Vairagyam eva bhayam. Vairagyam is the solution to the problem. Not changing people, correcting people, all that is not going to work. Vairagyam eva bhayam. Abhayam, the shelter is Vairagyam. Vairagyam. So, these are things which happens in everybody's life. These things do happen. So, that means happiness means for us, we are thinking it is due to somebody else I become happy in my life. And once I have accepted that, that itself is a distress. If I start accepting that somebody else is responsible for my happiness in life, that acceptance of that itself is a cause of distress. Like family life, that's our main problem, isn't it? Householder life. foolishly, the husband is thinking, wife and children are the cause of my happiness. Wife is thinking, husband and the children are cause of my happiness. Bhikshu is telling us, if you are living in that understanding, give it up. They are not responsible for your happiness or distress, because at any moment they can be gone, whether it's husband or it's wife. And sometimes you can see this, when one dies, the other person is lost in this world. Is it not? You must have observed that, especially older age, when one leaves the other person, because why? Whole lifetime he lived in this world on the understanding, my partner is giving me happiness, my partner is giving me happiness. And that is gone deep down inside, he couldn't live anymore in his absence or her absence. This happens. So, that is why he is saying, so, dukkham or distress is nothing but when sukham goes away. So, sukham, losing that happiness itself is distress, isn't it? Similarly, if you start thinking that somebody else is responsible for your distress here, and if they are not going away, that becomes a cause of distress. All this is understanding is important. That what Krishna is saying here, Bhikshu is saying to us, that if you are thinking that somebody else is responsible for your distress, and if that person is not going away, in family life also this can happen. That husband is saying that my wife is the cause, but wife is not going. Wife is saying husband is responsible, and he is also not going. And they will come up with this solution. Sometimes you will see, the easiest solution is divorce, isn't it? It is not working, so best thing is to close the show. And that's the way they have tried, found the answer for this. The modern world solution to the problem. But you try this, and you will see another problem waiting, in another way, on the doorstep. Rishi's solution is not that. Rishi's solution is, which is more subtle solution, the real solution is, even if you have to live with your best enemy in this world, you have to know that happiness is not coming or distress is not coming from him. Even if you are in your best love life in this world with your wife, you still have to know happiness is not coming from her or happiness is not coming from him. And this understanding, Bhikshu got it now. And he is saying here, that Bhikshu is saying here, that please remember these words by heart. What Krishna has, Bhikshu has said, this first verse. At least this first verse. So, nobody in this world, no one is responsible for my happiness or distress. And I will not depend on anybody for my happiness. That does not mean that you have to be indifferent to people. That's not what it means. Do what you have to do, but don't get attached. That's the message. So, sukham or happiness, nayam janomi sugadukha hedu, sukham is not something that will come from outside depending on somebody. It is not due to ashrayam. Ashrayam means dependence. On some source outside is the responsible for happiness in life. I know most of the people will find all this very difficult to accept it. They will sometimes say, yeah, but then go back home and the whole thing continues again. Nothing is going to change. But still we have to say this, because it's there in the Bhagavatam. Whether somebody accepts it or not, that we can't say anything about it. That's an individual choice. But if we are intelligent, and if we have understood Bhagavatam and taken Krishna's word seriously, Krishna is saying this to us, quoting this Bhikshu. Why? So that we do not get lost in this world. What happens often is that you can see how relationships can end up very serious problems in life. In murder sometimes. And sometimes lifelong depression, tensions, and feeling frustrated with the whole life, suicide. All kinds of things happens due to this misunderstanding. When you have taken this misunderstanding like this, that external person is responsible for my happiness and distress, then all these things will follow after that. And you go to psychologists or psychiatrists, They will give you some kind of advices. They won't tell you this. This one thing they won't tell you. What they will tell you is how to adjust your relationships. There are so many columns in the newspapers, isn't it, which gives you advice. They have every newspaper, especially many of these newspapers have got these people who give you advice about relationships. Many marriages didn't work. It has gone into difficulties, and then the boy is writing, the girl is writing. And if you see some of those advices, it's laughable, isn't it? You know, it's not getting anywhere. It's some kind of solution they have trying to patch up. Nothing works. But still, the columns are continuing still. It hasn't stopped anywhere. But important thing is, basic understanding is not there. What can you do? If this basic understanding, what Bhikshu is saying, if it is there, this wouldn't happen. This wouldn't happen. So, first thing is, this is the only verse what should be quoted in all these columns. Nayam janome sugadukha hedu. Na devadalma grahakarma kalam manaparam karanam amanandi samsara chakram parivartaye bhul. So, sa devada, all other demigods, are they responsible? He says no. When we say, why does he say devadas? Devadas means, you see here, we are constantly in touch with the devadas, isn't it? We are always in touch with the devadas. These devadas, when he is referring to, for example, rain, that means you are in contact with Indra. And water, floods, things like that, you are in contact with Varuna. Air, you are in contact with Vayu. Fire, you are in contact with Agni, fire. So, constantly, we are interacting with the different devadas. Devadas don't think that devadas are sitting somewhere up in the sky, somewhere in the heavenly planets, and sitting there and pressing the button and controlling us here. That is not. They are very much present here like us. We are present here. They are also present here. But their gross form is what we are dealing with. Is it not? Fire, air, water. All these are Indra, Chandra, Varuna. Sunlight. Sun is present here in front of us in the form of sunlight. Moon is present here. Moonshine. All of these things are present and we are living with them. With the devadas we are present here. So, if you are thinking that they are all responsible for my happiness and distress, then are they under our control? They are not either. That's what he is saying here. Na devada, nayam janome sukadukha hedu, na devada. They are also not responsible for my happiness. Although, we will curse the weather, we will say it's cold, it's freezing, it's this, it's that, weather has changed, as we are talking about now, and all these things. We are thinking that they are responsible for my happiness and distress. And then you have to ask the question, do we have any control over them? So, and then astrologers will say, they have their own analysis, isn't it? Sometimes they will make the chart, and they will do one part is a calculation, and the second part is their predictions, based on the charts. Now, people will think that astrology is a perfect science. Astrology is not a perfect science. That we have to be very conscious of. Even the best astrologers will tell you, astrology is not perfect. Acharya Swamiji, in his commentary on Brahma Sutram, he mentions this. He says, there is only one science that is perfect in this world, that's Brahma Vidya. Spiritual life. Spiritual knowledge, that's the only thing that you can say 100% perfect. That is why it's called Satya. All other thing is asat. Material life is sentence. Material science is not perfect. Ayurveda is not perfect. Why? Because it's dealing with matter. With a asat. Anything that deals with asat is imperfect. Similarly, astrology is also imperfect because it deals with asat. Without knowing that, we are going to astrologer thinking that he is going to solve all our problems. What can he do? That's his job, he has to make some living out of it. And some of them are very popular because whatever they have spoken, partly it will come true. Partly. But not 100%, it will never come true. And that is why the one who has taken the spiritual life seriously, there is absolutely no need to go after astrologers. It's a waste of time. It's not going to help at any point in time. So, therefore, always to remember this, Brahma Vidya is the only science that is perfect. There is no mistakes in that. All other science, any material science, physics, chemistry, biology, zoology, whatever you can call, history, economics, nothing is perfect. Nothing is perfect. Everything, all of that is within the periphery of Maya. And Maya won't allow you to have a precise and clear answer forever. Maya's nature, she has to change. She will make you convinced something is correct today, and after a few years she will make you say that what you have found was wrong, and bring another theory. And that theory will last for some time, and that will change again. Even Einstein's theory has been questioned, isn't it? Relativity. So, there also, astrology also is not the answer. So, but astrologers will tell you, when you have problems, that some certain devadas are displeased with you. Therefore, you have to have some, what do they call, parihara karma. I mean, some kind of process by which to please that particular devata who is responsible for that. You can do that, there is nothing wrong. The reason is, any kind of worship of higher authority is good. If you are able to worship anyone, accept the authority, because by doing that, you are accepting authority of another higher, superior power, and that will only do good, because there your ahankaram will go. That's the advantage from that. There's no other. Devata is not going to do anything. But if you are willing to surrender to higher authority, that itself is a good thing. Because it gives you some freedom from that ego of your own. So, but if by doing all that, if it's not gone away, the problem has not gone away, then what will you do? Bhikshu is saying here that na devadalma graha karma kalam. They are not responsible for my happiness or distress. Here is where the knowledge comes in. Because the very nature of the soul is it distress or is it happiness? What is the nature of the soul? Soul by nature, Shastram is telling us, full of bliss and knowledge, isn't it? Atma, by very nature itself, is bliss and knowledge. So, and if this distress is happening to the self, individual self, then if it is happening to the self, then you will never be able to take it away. If the distress is happening to the self, then you will never be able to take it away. Because anything that related to self is permanent. Shastram says to us, the nature of the self is bliss, not distress. And therefore, we have to understand that they are not responsible for the, it is not coming from the soul. It's not happening to the soul. So, and not only that, if the distress is in the Atma, in the soul, you better not to try to remove it. It won't happen. It will remain forever, because Atma by very nature is eternal. It means eternal means distress is also eternal then. Then what's the point in trying? You have to conclude this in this way, that the distress is not happening in the Atma, then where is it happening? That's the question. So, then we say, like astrologers say, the Mars is not in the good position, Saturn is not in the good position, and then they will, sometimes they'll tell you, it's only just started. And then you're sunk. You're thinking, how long will it take? Another 15 years, you'll be alright after that. I said, that's enough. Then you come home with your chart and then you tell all your family members, look, next 15 years I am in a very bad time. So don't annoy me now for the next 15 years. This is, so 15 years you're going to be in this mood, like this. So they'll ask you that question, isn't it? And after 15 years, this whole distress will turn to be happiness. How will that happen? So, because then the astrologers, if you keep poking, you'll say, no, it's not 15 years actually. Out of that first 4 years is particularly bad. They have their own way of presenting it to us, not hurting us in such a way. So after that it will be alright, he said. 15 years is bad time, but only particularly the first 4 years, you have to be a little bit careful. So, but Bitru is saying, if those planets there, what have got to do with me? What have I done to them to do this to me? If they are responsible, Bitru says no. Nayam janome sugadukha hedu na devadalma graham. No planets are responsible for that. Because if they are responsible, if they are responsible for my distress, I will never be able to free from this. What's the point in discussing about bondage and liberation and everything? What's the point in studying Bhagavad Gita if they are always in control of my situation? That's a Bhikshu's question. If Bhikshu is saying, if these planets there, if they are going to control my life after life, then what can I do? There's nothing to do for me. I just live according to whatever they give me, I take it, happiness or distress, and be satisfied with the planets. Nothing, you don't have to think about another absolute truth or supreme personality of Godhead or anything like that. And you will never be able to live peacefully in that state also. Now, making this a little bit more scientific means in the eyes of the Shastram, you can say like this, karmam is responsible. We say like that, is it not? Karmam is responsible for, we always say prarabdham, agamam, sanchitam, various kinds of karmam. And we say, because of prarabdha karmam, that we are suffering now, that's why it is happening. So, Bhikshu is even rejecting that. He is saying, here, karmam also is not responsible. It's a very important realization that. Karma is also responsible, time is also responsible. Graham, karmam, kalam. Kalam is also responsible. Then what is responsible? Mind is responsible. Manaparam karanam amanandi. So, how do we understand that? Karmam is not responsible. That's a very difficult thing. Because we are living in this world on the strength of that understanding, is it not? That karmam has put us into this situation. That is true, but that's also not true. That's how we have to understand that. How do we explain that? Why is it true? Karmam is true, prarabdham is there. But all these karmam, prarabdham, agamam, sanjidam, all these things are in relationship with the body, the mind, the intelligence, the ego. It cannot get into the atma. That is, he is talking about it from the platform of the soul. As soon as you come to the platform of the soul, prarabdham doesn't exist. But unfortunately, we are not on the platform of the soul, and therefore we have to explain that in this way, that I am suffering today and there is prarabdham there. If I realize that I have no suffering inside me or any kind of material distress in me, I am transcended this body and the mind, then there is no prarabdham. Then there is no prarabdham after that. So this mind is suffering because of what? Because of this ajnanam or avidya inside me. I have that ignorance in me to accept this and therefore I am suffering. But once I have come out of this ignorance, so ignorance is the problem that is putting us into this situation. So, and that is, this mind is telling me, if I become like this, I will be happy. If I will become like that, I will be unhappy. Mind is making that decision, is it not? All our life, why do we say I am happy? Oh, I had some few good years, I say. And then I say I had very few bad years. There was neither good years nor bad years. Who says this? The mind is saying. So mind is saying. So it is this mind who is cheating us all the time, saying different things. Sometimes the mind says to us, everything is fine, things are going very well, mind is cheating you. But then the mind is telling you, everything is hopeless, life is not, is going to be hell from now on. That is also mind is cheating you. It is this cheating nature of the mind that is causing this problem. Bhikshu found out that. Instead of depending on the Devata, Graham, Karmam, Kalam and the people outside, Janam, none of them are Sukha-Dukha Hedu, but mind is responsible for happiness and distress. This deep realization, what he had, we also have to develop it. There is no other way. Otherwise you can't progress in the spiritual life. It's not possible. Spiritual life is all this. Spiritual life is not that you have done something else in life or done a lot of sadhana. But this realization is an important part of our spiritual. Those who have taken this seriously, you will see them shanti state, progressing in the spiritual life. It is they who make it, not the one who runs around the whole world. He won't make it. He is doing it because he has also that same avidya. What we all have is in him as well. Who is thinking that I am running around all over the world, doing a lot for this, lot for that, lot of charity, lot of work I have done, service I have done, this, I have done. Nothing will work. That is all in the early stages, because you have got that karma vasana. Prabhupada also mentioned this once. That he said, you have got so much vasana inside, all my big, big managers, they did big, big projects, he said. So I have to create projects for them, so that they won't go and do some nonsense otherwise. It is like that. Karma is not the solution to the problem. The answer to the problem is this realization what Bhikshu had. Nayam janome sukha dukha hedu na devadalma griha karma kalam manaparam karanamamanandi samsara chakram parivartaye bhul. If you have studied this one verse and if you have analyzed it well, that means you have understood Bhikshu Gita. That is the very core of message of this Bhikshu Gita. This misunderstanding in us, if life is in this particular way I am desiring, then I am thinking it is happy life. And if the life is in a different way than what I thought, which I think is not the way I want to live, then it is distress. It is distress for me, isn't it? And then it creates fear inside. And who is experiencing? The mind. Mind is experiencing fear. So mind is the very root cause of all happiness and distress. It has nothing to do with the soul. It is in the mind all these things are happening. And that is actually the fuel for samsara chakram. This wheel of material existence, the fuel for that is the mind. Why do you think Krishna has hit the mind so strongly in the Bhagavad Gita and in the Bhagavadam? Both to Uddhava as well as to Arjuna, isn't it? Mana eva manushyanam karanam bandha mokshayoho, he says to Uddhava. Mana eva manushyanam karanam bandha mokshayoho. Bandham moksham is coming from the mind. And bandho mukta idivyakya gunasmena vastuda gunasya maya mulatval name mokshona bandhanam. Again, this mind is what? Three modes of material nature, which is present there, and that binds us. To Arjuna, Krishna is saying the same thing. Is it not about the mind? So as much as we accept this, that mind is the fuel for this material existence, samsara chakram. And it is this mind is telling us, if life is like this, the way I am want to live, then I consider that as happiness. It's not coming from the Atma. It's not coming from the Atma. It's coming from the mind. And I am thinking, if I'm not able to make a living like it, this way I'm living, I won't be able to live in this world. Who says this? Mind is saying this. Mind is saying this to us. And that ajnanam or ignorance is in the mind, not in the Atma, not in the soul. It is the mind that is persisting, insisting that it should be like this. Atma is not insisting. Mind is insisting, my life should be like this to become happy. And similarly, when that mind was completely in ajnanam or ignorance, even if this ignorance is inside me, then even if everything else is favorable outside, still it's not going to help you. Because inside that, ajnanam is inside. This is the most important thing. that say everything is favorable in life, whatever you wanted in life has happened, everything is working out very well. But if your mind is full of this ajnanam inside, in that situation, even if everything is favorable outside, it is of no use. Because when in my mind, through satsangam, when it becomes developed, when it mind starts becoming proper knowledge, if it's builds up inside, even if you are having the worst time due to Saturn, suppose Saturn is in a very bad shape, because everybody curses Saturn, isn't it? Because it lasts for a longer time and it can give you a lot of knocks in life. So people say like that, that if you are in the satsangam, listening to what Bhikshu has taught us, even if you are in the bad time of the Saturn, still it is beneficial for you, because this reason only, Saturn has been given a position of Ishvara. Have you know that? If you ask the astrologers, when they address Shani, they say Shani Ishvara. His address says Ishvara, a controller. Reason being, because if you have satsangam, and in that satsangam, if you have a little bit of grace of Krishna, Krishna's grace also comes. For many people, vairagyam comes. That's a benefit. Suppose due to Saturn's bad in time, what we call, and you are having a hard time in life, but it so happened that you are in the satsangam at that time, and Krishna has given you some grace, and it is in that Saturn, when it is in that bad shape, bad time, it is at that time you will develop vairagyam in life, or vivekam, or discrimination. So therefore you will see in many, many great personalities, when they had worst time in their planetary position, when the planets were in the bad shape, time, but due to some Krishna's grace, they happened to be listening to these pragaranam, like Bhikshu Gita, Aila Gita, or Dattatreya Gita, or Bhagavatam. They happened to listen to it in their difficult times due to their circumstances. When they were listening to it, due to the influence of Saturn, that they were given the grace, Krishna has given the grace to them, and in that way they developed vairagyam. So can you blame Saturn for that? Should you not be glorifying Saturn for what he has done? Because ultimately Saturn helped you to develop that vairagyam inside. Saturn, normally people hate Saturn for this reason, isn't it? He gives us trouble, we say. And it's a long period of time in life. And every 30 years it repeats again, the same thing. And particularly other planets like Rahu, Ketu, astrologers will tell you all these things. Depending on their position, they will say to you that so many calamities are likely to happen, this, that and the other. Krishna is saying to us, Bhikshu is saying to us, let that happen, so what? If by their grace, if you are getting vairagyam from that, haven't you got the best than anything else? It's not that the best deal, because that's what we want, isn't it? Vairagyam. Vairagyam is not happening, but due to the influence of Saturn, things have gone so bad in life, and you so happen that satsangam has helped you to develop some Krishna consciousness in that process, and Krishna has created some vairagyam inside, we have to thank Saturn for that. Not curse him. We have to thank Saturn for that. And that is why Shani is always addressed as Shanishvara. Because it is only due to the power of Saturn, influence of Saturn, that in his time, many people have turned into spiritual life seriously. Otherwise, we are not people who will take to spiritual life very easily. We need that hating from many sides. Only then we will accept it, otherwise we won't. So, it is not in the... So it is in the Saturn, when it is in its most powerful position, many people have taken to spiritual life seriously. Not in the Venus. Venus is considered to be a good planet, isn't it? Shukra Desha, they call it. Venus. Venus, everybody thinks that Venus in all positions, all the 11 houses, Venus is in always in a favorable position for everybody. If you look, you will see there, if you look into the charts, different planets in which houses they act favorably and unfavorably for everybody. That varies from, based on the star one has born. But if you look into the influence of Venus alone, it's good to everybody all the time. Rarely it will have any bad effect with anyone. So therefore, everybody thinks Venus is the best time. Actually, it's not. Because under the influence of Venus, you will never take to spiritual life. You will never take to Krishna consciousness under the influence of Venus. So Shani or Saturn gives you vairagyam, Venus gives you attachment, asakti and attachment. So giving vairagyam, giving jnanam or knowledge, this is all what Shani does to us. And therefore, they are his activities, and this is what makes the Saturn favorable for us. Mind, shunya apurnada medhi mrityu amrdayate, abasandarbi vidvaljana samagamaha. So, when under the influence of this Saturn, you become more conscious of that, the difficulties are coming in life, and in that way, even danger situations in life will become favorable at that time. Will become favorable. Death will become nectar, and when you get satsangam at that time. And in that way, when the mind becomes more and more favorable, it becomes more settled inside, everything what we think is unfavorable will become favorable in our mind. We are thinking so many things are unfavorable in life for our self-realization. But those things what we think are unfavorable, they will all become favorable in that situation. Because material existence, you have to understand this. Material existence, we say happy in this world, some material existence, isn't it? Material existence will always tell you that everything is favorable here. So for example, in life, you have some degree of happiness in life. And that is very dangerous. If you are feeling like that, everything is comfortable, everything is favorable. Because the word material existence means that you are feeling comfortable here. Samsaram is material existence, isn't it? So this samsaram material existence is always will tell you everything is favorable to you. Everything is favorable to you. So all the vyavaharam what we do in this world is to make everything favorable. Is it not? We go to work for what? We live in the family for what? We live in the society for what? All trying to make all our vyavaharam favorable for us. So when you are trying to do that, vyavaharam, making it favorable, actually what you are doing is you are increasing your material existence. Your material existence. Samsara vyavaharaha, Acharya Swami says in the commentary on Brahma Sutra Bhashyam. He says that this whole material existence, vyavaharam in this world, he put it into this one word, samsara. One word, samsara. And he gives some examples there, very beautiful examples. He says there, suppose you take some, to make us understand this, how it works. How, when vyavaharam becomes favorable, your material existence is getting worse. It's getting more and more, you're getting implicated in the material world. That's what it is. See, there's a cow standing there. If I show some grass to the cow, cow will come close to me. I can feed the grass to the cow. If I take a stick, cow will run. Is it not? Cow, this is what material existence is all about. So, if I show the grass, cow will come to me. If I show the stick, cow will run away. And he calls it as Hari Hari Tranapurna ഉപലഭ്യേതി തദ്ഭിമുഖന്തി ഭവതി ദണ്ഡോദ്യതകരം അലക്ഷ്യതദേഹ പലായിതം ആരംഭം അനുകൂലം പ്രതിപ്രവർത്തതേ പ്രതികൂല നിവർത്തതേ. ദിസ് ഈസ് ഇൻ ഹിസ് കമന്ററി ഓൺ ദി വേദാന്ത സൂത്രം. ഹി സേസ് ദേർ സംസാര വ്യവഹാര സംസാര വ്യവഹാരം മീൻസ് വ്യവഹാരം മീൻസ് സപ്പോസ് ഐ ഗെറ്റ് സംതിങ് ഫേവറബിൾ ഐ ഗോ ആൻഡ് സിറ്റ് ദേർ ബിക്കോസ് ഇറ്റ്സ് ഫേവറബിൾ ടു മീ ആൻഡ് സപ്പോസ് സംതിങ് കംസ് അഗെയിൻസ്റ്റ് മീ ഐ വിൽ റൺ അവേ ഫ്രം ദാറ്റ്. This is called material existence. You have noticed that, haven't you? If something comes favorable to me, I will go and go along with it, go and sit there with that. If something comes unfavorable to me, then I will run away from there, just like in the case of the cow. This is what we do whole life. If the situation is favorable, I will stick to it. If the situation is not favorable, I'll run away from that. So, sometimes, this circumstances which are not favorable, even though they are unfavorable for my material existence, they are favorable for my spiritual advancement. You see that? These material situations, circumstances, even if they are unfavorable for my material existence, unfavorable, they are favorable for my spiritual life. For spiritual life, favorable for Krishna consciousness. So, Krishna does not give anybody anything just to give trouble to anybody. That's not his job either. Only thing is, we do not know the purpose for which we have been put into that situation. Like we can see sometimes in family life, you sometimes do feel that why I have been put into this situation. But the point is that Krishna has put us into that situation, there must be a reason behind it. Analyzing it that way, and to see that if it is helping me spiritually to get strengthened. If there is a lot of misery in life, you will turn to spiritual life. But if there is no problems in life, what chance is there to take to Krishna consciousness? Never. It will never happen. So therefore, to think in that way and to turn the life into spiritual side, and for that, if a problem wife and problem children are happening, you have to thank them for that, for what they are doing. Not to think in the negative way. They are actually helping us. This is what Acharya is saying here to us. And that is what he is saying here. Because if it happens continuously, what will happen is that vairagyam will build up inside strongly, and on a long term, that will benefit us in our spiritual path. They are not going to be there forever. They'll come and they'll go. But in the short time, they have also become another spiritual master for us. Like mentions, isn't it? Hihi me dehamoham tejapavana puradishame yal premahe to gehe vitte kalatra adishajavivashadam tulpadam vismarandi. After analyzing the 24 spiritual masters, the Tatraya Maharshi says, my spiritual master, the 25th one he talks about is his own body. His own body. He says, I learned a lesson from this body. From my own body, I learned a lesson. What is that? Hihi me dehamoham. Dehamoham. Identification with this body and my desire to protect this body and look after this body. But what happened in that process? Teja pavana pura dishame prema hedo, that I did not take to spiritual life. I did not take to Krishna consciousness. Why? I got attached to the body. That's the problem. Because of attachment to the body, I got attached to money, I got attached to all other comforts in this world. In that process, I lost my opportunity for spiritual life. Gehe vitte kalatra dishuja vivashadam. Geha means home, vitta means money, kalatra means wife, Adishu means children and all others. Gehe vitte kalatra adishuja vivashadam. Because of that, tulpadam vismarandi. I've forgotten Krishna. Soyam vanne shunuva paramiha marado sambradam cha akshikarnam tukjikhwa gai vigarshandi vivasha itimadam kopina tulpadabje. That, soyam vanne shunuva And what is the destiny of this body tomorrow? It will be eaten by the dogs one day. When I leave this body, this will be eaten by the dogs. Or eaten by the fire. Soyam vanni, vanni means fire. Soyam vanni shunuva paramiha paradam sambradam chakshikarnam. That when it is there, what does it do? Akshikarnam tokjihu agrai vikarshandi. These five senses, tokkar, jihwa, akshi, karnam, they are all the senses. All of them together, they give me a lot of trouble. That's all they do to me. Tokjihu agrai vikarshandi vivasha itimada. They never tell me, take to Krishna consciousness. All they tell me is, how to enjoy life, how to enjoy life. Is it not? Tongue wants food. Nice food to talk, eat and nice way to gossip. Then all others, eyes, wants to see nice things, enjoy. Smell, nose wants to smell. Ears wants to hear good music. Like this, and senses of touch wants to touch some things very nice. So all these senses, what did they do to me? He's saying, they have withdrawn me away from me, the real me. They have taken me away from Krishna. Avashamadaida kobinatval padabje. And I become very weak and helpless at the end in my life. And I left this world in that way. So, body has taught me this lesson. One thing I have learned from. So, according to Shastram, that material existence, if it becomes favorable, it's not good for spiritual life. Because mind will never turn in the spiritual direction. We are thinking that suppose I distribute some books and people read that books and life will turn. It won't turn like that. Life will turn when this thing happens in life. When everything becomes unfavorable in life, family, society, health, wealth, everything has gone. That means material circumstances have all become negative. And that time, if you are fortunate enough, and if you had good salsangam at that time, with the grace of that salsangam, vairagyam will come. And when vairagyam comes, at that time with Krishna's grace, things will go in, the knowledge will develop inside. Proper understanding will develop inside. That is what Bhikshu is saying here. Bhikshu is saying here that that if the time is right for a person to come to spiritual life, then everything you will notice in his life, material life, will all becoming negative towards him. It will all become very negative towards him. So that is also favorable. That's also favorable. And if the person has proper discrimination and knowledge, and he is serious about salsangam, in that way, both will become favorable. Salsangam will become favorable, and also the unfavorable material circumstances will also become favorable. Salsangam will become favorable in the form of knowledge, and unfavorable material circumstances will become favorable in the form of vairagyam. This is what happens in spiritual life. Spiritual life, we make it as though it's like a project to run. Isn't it? We think that spiritual life is all based on how many years brahmachari, and then when you take initiation, and then you meet with the right guru, and then guru and you together work together and make it happen. As though it's some kind of big project running. It doesn't work like that. It is not spiritual life. Spiritual life is this, what Bhikshu is telling us. He's teaching us this, how spiritual life is very much a personal thing. So many external factors have a direct input into it. Unfavorable material life. Soyam kaleya kalo jayadi. Kaliyugam's one most favorite. Why Kaliyugam? Everybody wants to take birth in Kaliyugam. Because only in Kaliyugam you can get so much distress. You don't get this distress in Tridayugam, Dwaparayugam or Satyayugam. Look at our unfortunate situation. Everything messed up in our life. Any intelligent person will agree with that. Almost all of us who are sitting in this room, I can say more or less is messed up in one way or the other. You won't be able to disagree with me on that. If you disagree, I can't do anything about it. But all I'm saying is, you go outside and talk to people, you will see everyone is carrying a baggage, heavy baggage of distress inside. Nothing is working, job is not going well, work is, family life is not going well, weather is not doing well, money is also not working well. From all angles, there is no hope at all. Really, that is the situation. Hundreds and thousands of people. People say they are enjoying. What enjoyment is there in this? Therefore, it is for this reason only, rishis have told us this. Kali Yugam is a fantastic age. Why? This one thing, you don't have to pay for it. This thing called distress. It's plenty available. And therefore, it is easier to turn to spiritual life in Kali. Therefore, even demigods in the higher planets, they are saying, we want to come and take birth here in Kali, in the age of Kali. It is in the Bhagavatam. You will read that in the 11th canto. They are saying, they want to come and take birth in the age of Kali in this world. Why? It's favorable for spiritual life. Lot of distress from all sides. Therefore, they say, Jai to Kali. Soyam kaleya kalo jayati. Kaleya kalo jayati. Of all the times, of all the four yugams, Jai for Kali. Because it is only Kali who gives us this favorable situation like this. So much adharmam here in this now. No one cares for any dharmam, isn't it? Truthfulness gone. They say 25%. You can't even find 25% in this world in Kali. There is nothing left. If the beginning of Kali is like this, imagine what will be at the end. So when you see in the Bhagavatam that the age of Kali is spoken in that way. Yatra sangirtanadir sneha dvesha anuragehi prabhadibi adulai ashramai yoga bedehi artim tirta samastam amrutapadamagum sarvada vishvashandyehi. Then arti. Arti means what? Arti means this. Misery. Remember Krishna says, artho jityasu artharti jnani. All the devotees in Kali will be from the first lot. Arti. Suffering in Valai, one way or the other, various ways. If it is not family problem, it's a health problem. If it's not a health problem, something else. Something or the other. Is there any happiness in this existence? Has Krishna says like this, just life has to be like this, the way we are living today? No, it's not. No, Krishna says that. First of all, Krishna says, anityam asugam lokam, manufacturing defect of the creation himself. The person who has created this is saying this to us. Added to that, Kali also. So two things together, we are all sitting and we are smiling, but I know behind this smile, there is a lot of heaviness inside. The smiling is all just because we got the teeth, we are showing it outside. But right behind that teeth, there is unhappiness in every one of us. We are trying to show, put a nice face in front of others, but it is not that state what we would like to be, isn't it? Always in anxiety about what will happen tomorrow, what will happen, when is death going to come, when is the disease going to come, what will happen, who is going to look after. All kinds of fear inside is built up again and again. But to survive in this world, we put a brave face and walk around showing that everything is normal. How are you? Fine. This, all these things we say. But Swayam Kaleya Kalo Jayadi Murari Bo Yatra Sangirtanadye Sneham Dvesham. Because if you see in the Bhagavatam, in the 7th canto, Saptamaskandam, you can see this, that Narada Maharshi told who? Yudhishthira Maharaj. That he said this, that Gopya Kamal Bhayal Kamsa Deshe Chaityadayo Nurba Sambandham Krishnaya Snehal Yuyam Bhaktiya Vayam Vibho. Somehow or the other, a relationship with Krishna has to happen. It does not matter how it happens. And he gave the examples that through lusty relationship with gopis have developed some contact with Krishna. Gopya Kamad. Kamsa had a similar relationship. You should not think Kamsa is a demon. Kamsa is one of the greatest devotees, if you look at it from that point of view. Otherwise, why Kamsa was mentioned there? He was frightened of Krishna, but he had Krishna consciousness in him. Is it not? Although he was frightened of Krishna, 24 hours thinking about Krishna, fearful about Krishna. Asinam sammishastishtan bunjanam pariyaran mahim chindayano krishigesham. He says there in the Bhagavatam. And no 1 second he could remain without thinking about Krishna. Is that not a devotee? So, Gopya Kamal Bhayal Kamsa. And Shishumala hated Krishna. Very heavily he hated Krishna. Desha Chaityadeo Nurba. Sambandham Krishnaya. And Pandavas had close relationship with Krishna. Sneha Yuyam Bhaktya Vayam. All this Narada Maharshi says there. So, somehow or the other, if a relationship builds with Krishna, whichever way it happens doesn't matter. In Kali Yuga, this will happen through distress. This is the conclusion. That is why Kali Yuga is saying glories to Kali. For this reason. If we go to Krishna in Kali Yuga, if any reason behind that, if it is happening, it's due to distress. Soyam kaleya kalo jaydi madaripo yatra sangirtana adyaihi snehadveshanuragaihi prabhadibi adulai ashramai yogavedaihi artim tirtha samastham amrudavadamago sarvada sarvalogai kritva vishwartishandehi bhavanavirabade bhaktipurte jabuyah. It's a famous verse that saying to Krishna that I am coming to you with this heavy baggage in me. With this heavy baggage of distress in my life, I am coming to you for your shelter. Please take me on your board. Artim tirtha samastam. And give me this vairagyam what you have given to Bhikshu. Give it to me. Amrudava damagum. And put me into that state. Sarvada sarvalogehi. And all through my journey in this world. Khatva vishwarti shandim. And give me that shandi by taking away that arti from me. Bhakti purte jabuyaham. And develop that bhakti in my heart. Because unless vairagyam comes, bhakti won't develop. Unless vairagyam comes, bhakti won't develop. Unless vairagyam comes, jnanam won't develop either. So both for jnanam and vairagyam, bhakti, vairagyam is necessary. I have mentioned many times before, if you develop jnanam without vairagyam, what will happen? That jnanam won't stay. It will wobbly. Be very wobbly. That means, when you need that knowledge, it won't be there. If it is not supported with vairagyam. So any jnanam, if it is not supported with vairagyam, it will not remain firm. That firmness of that jnanam, that will come from vairagyam. That comes from vairagyam. Vairagyam establishes in a person this jnanam firmly rooted. So that is why vairagyam is necessary for jnanam. If you take the case of bhakti, if you develop bhakti without vairagyam behind it, what will happen? That bhakti will turn into sentimental thing. It will only be a business-like relationship with Krishna. That means, when the time is good, there won't be any bhakti. Time is bad, there will be some kind of bhakti happening at that time. So both angle, either is bhakti or jnanam, vairagyam is a underlying principle behind that. That is what Bhikshu's message is. Bhikshu's teaching us that. That this Bhikshu Gita, in many ways, it is explaining to that. That vairagyam, when it comes to that, when it is developed proper vairagyam, this will result in this way. And then if it has come up in that way, then that the wheel, which is called samsara chakram, that will not rotate anymore. That will stop its rotation. So that's why he said there, mano gunanvai sujadebeliyam tadascha karmani vilakshanani shuklani krishnanyathalohitani devyasa varno sudayo bhavandi mano gunanvai sujadebeliyam tadascha karmani vilakshanani shuklani krishnanyathalohitani devyasa varna savarna sudayo bhavandi devyasa varna sudayo bhavandi. That this mind, it has got 3 babies. It delivered 3 babies. What are they? It's like compared to like a goat who had had three babies, baby goats. What are they? Satugunam, Rajogunam, Tamogunam. It has delivered these three babies. And and he says, Tadascha karmani shuklani krishnani the lohidani lohida shukla krishnam. There is a she-goat, female goat. And that female goat is constantly delivering babies, one after the other. Sometimes it delivers a goat with a red color. Sometimes it delivers a goat with a white color. And another one sometimes in a black color, black goat. And it continuously delivering these three babies, red, black and white. So similarly, the mind, which is filled with ignorance, ajnanam, they will deliver continuously these three babies called satugunam, rajogunam, tamogunam. That is why these three gunam, satugunam, rajogunam, tamogunam, they have three different colors. Lohida krishna shuklam, it says there. Lohida shuklani krishnanyada lohidani. So what does the mind does? What does the mind do? Mind does like this. When the satugunam is very favorable, when it delivers satugunam, mind, you turn into spiritual activity, meditation, chanting the holy name. All these things happens when the satugunam is delivered by the mind. And we are thinking that we are doing everything, isn't it? Not at all. Not at all. Because according to the mood that comes into the mind, accordingly you act. And the mood is one of these three gunam. Often you will notice that some people, okay, if you are working, you may get up early in the morning and chant your rounds. Because you know why you are chanting, because you know you have to go to work, therefore you have to finish chanting before you go. So you may be doing that. But what you have to look at it is this way. Were you able to chant at that time in Sattugunam or Rajogunam or Tamogunam? If you make a note of that, you will notice in many instances it was in Rajogunam and Tamogunam it has happened. It was not in Sattugunam. So, a favorable situation mind has to create first. Only then your sadhana also will become worthwhile. Suppose the mind has given you a lot of thoughts in the night, lot of disturbances in the morning, and you woke up in that state, and you have done the sadhana because you have no other time in the day, you are doing it. But you have to also look at it this way. The mind was not favorable for engaging in proper sadhana. Is it not? So, mind will take you wherever it has to take you. So, sometimes you can observe this. It may take many, many hours of chanting before some shanti comes inside. So, that is what we say. Sometimes people say mood off, isn't it? What does mood off mean? Mood off means that Rajogunam and Tamogunam has come. That's what mood off means. Sometimes devotees also say, I was not in a mood to chant my rounds. And sometimes it gets carried away for next day or carried away for a week together. Sometimes it carried away for the whole life. It never happens, in other words. So if it happens, only thing you have to blame is the modes of nature that has come inside. So one mood will always be there, is it not? Sattvam, Rajasam, Tamas, one of them will be always there. So when the mood is on, there will be always some mood. It may not be Sattvam, it may be Rajasam or Tamas. But so Sattugunam, if it comes in, then you are chanting the holy name will be proper. It will develop in a proper way. For some people it is like a season, these three modes. Keeps one after the other. So when the Satugunam season comes, they'll engage in meditation, spiritual life, they'll take to Salsangam, they will read Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita and all. When Rajogunam season comes, they'll be busy with making money. That's priority then. When Tamogunam season comes, they'll sit at home and think, what life? It's all a mess. Anyway, nothing can change. It's all going to be miserable. Anyway, nothing can be done about it. So what do you think? When Satugunam comes, you will think of something about spiritual lives. You want to hear something, you want to listen to something, And some endeavor in spiritual direction will come due to the influence of that satuguna. When rajoguna comes, action begins. Action. I have a lot to do in this world. These things can wait. Salsangam can wait. Bhagavatam can wait. Bhagavad Gita can wait. Right now, the priority is making money. That has to go on. When tamoguna comes, completely depressed. Nothing is working. Spiritual side is failed. Material life is also misery. Sit at home, watch some telly, or find some other shelter somewhere else. People's nature. You can look at all these things, and every one of us go through this day after day after day. Is it not? So, therefore, it is seasonal. Very much seasonal. When and this you can particularly see in spiritual life. Adhyalpam, you will see this. Because sattvam virimbo, when sattvam comes, when sattvam rises in a person, what will happen to them? I don't want anything in this world. What is in this world worthwhile chasing after? And because they know very well that what you have to really get in this world, you've already got it. That is that shanti inside. That is the nature of the sattvagunam. Sattvagunam will give you a twist in that way. Not desiring anything from the outside world, instead feeling some kind of fulfillment or satisfaction inside, and not desiring anything anymore. Instead, slowly, as Krishna says, attention going inwards to find out about the soul, inquiry of the soul and spiritual life, all these things will happen. After some time, that will stop. Just like you can see, when the month of, like we finished now November, December, probably after January, February, the rainy season and all come to a stop, and then the spring season comes, things change, everything. So similarly, it stops. Like the rain stops, satugunam also stops. And after a while, and slowly you will see rajogunam coming back to in us. So something will build up and it will take birth inside. Something will be born inside, in some form. And that is when you start feeling that I have to do something. I have to do something. How the rajogunam works. You may have practiced spiritual life in satugunam for a while. And having done all that, suddenly from inside, without even your knowledge, something comes up, some desire comes up, and a very, very strong urge from inside to act. And then you can say that the season has changed inside. This is how helpless we are in spiritual life. When these three modes of material nature is constantly playing this game, we are thinking that I will do all this for 20 years and I'll make so much progress in spiritual life without winning over. When Krishna said this in the Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? Gunatraya Vibhaga Yoga, we discussed this. How three modes of material nature will never let you go away freely like that. So you will feel that you want to work and want to do something about it. Like people sometimes say, oh, we got a problem, you got to do something about it, he says. What can you do? There's nothing can be done. But still they will say, why don't you do something about it? They'll say like that. You are thinking, what can be done and make it worse from by doing something about it? Already things have gone so bad. And then you're going and done something about it and made it worse. This happens many, many times. People are thinking, because I didn't do something, that's why this distress has come in my life. You look at people and analyze their life. You will see people constantly complaining. Had I done this in the right time, in the right way, this would not have happened in my life. And they'll analyze life in that way. They're always thinking that it's because of their effort and their actions that things went wrong in their life. And they feel guilty about it. It is all avidya. It's nothing but avidya that is. But due to that guilty feeling, then they decide that no more salsangam after this. I am going to look at it now in a positive way. I am going to do things and you will see the same thing happening again. That's the way material nature works. There is nobody understands this life better than the rishis. They have already told us all these things. It is better to go their route rather than trying to find our own mental solutions. It won't get us anywhere. So this season changes. Satugunam gone, rajogunam comes in. You can notice the change happening within us. immediately getting attracted to action and thinking that it is due to lack of proper action that I have got into this situation and it will happen like this. And sometimes, again next time, the season changes. You will see what happens at that time. No working, no meditation, no chanting, nothing. In a sort of dozy mood, sitting like this. No. Don't know what to do. Completely depressed state comes in life. This also comes everybody. Has to go through this. So these three modes of material nature will keep coming and going like the seasons are changing. Like the way seasons are changing. And this will happen to everybody. This will happen to everybody. And that is why Krishna said this in the Bhagavad Gita. I don't know if you remember this. It is a very, very famous verse in the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna is talking, while talking about this modes of nature. Ulkramandam sthidam vabhi bunjanam vagunanyidam vimudhananu pasyandi pasyandi jnana chakshushaham. Famous verse. Ulkramandam sthidam vabhi bunjanam vagunanyidam vimudhananu pasyandi pasyandi jnana chakshushaham. When we read all these verses in the Bhagavad Gita, if we are not bringing into our life and look at it ourselves, then what is the point? Is it not? These messages, these verses are, which chapter is this? 13th, is it? Or 14th? Ulkramandam sthidam vabi? 15th, yeah. Bunjanam va gunanvidam vimodhananu pasyandi pasyandi jnana chakshushaham. Let me read the translation. Krishna is saying, the foolish cannot understand how a living entity can quit his body, nor can they understand what sort of body he enjoys under the spell of the modes of nature. But one whose eyes are trained in knowledge can see all these things. Krishna is saying, Ulkramandam sthidam vabhi bunjanam va gunanyidam. Bunjanam va gunanyidam means that it is the modes of nature that you are eating actually here. When you say, I am enjoying, I am suffering, I am depressed and all that, what is it actually? The modes of nature. Bunjanam. Bunjanam means you are eating. Gunanyidam. It's gunam that you are eating. Vimudha nanu vashyandi pasyandi jnana vakshasha. A stupid person doesn't see this. He does not know this, Krishna is saying. Vimudha nanu vashyandi. He cannot see this. Pasyandi jnana chakshusha. But a person who is in knowledge, he sees it. And he remains transcendental to that. When you know that lower modes of nature are coming and attacking us, what is the intelligent thing to do? Not to act in that modes. But that discriminating power is necessary. First of all, you have to know the three modes of nature, how it's influencing us. And to remain and know very well that the modes of nature is not touching the soul, it's touching the mind. It's in the mind it's happening. So with that knowledge, one has to accept that. That is what Krishna is saying there. Famous verse that is, Ulkramandam sthidam vavi bunjanam va gunanyidam vimudha nanu pasyandi pasyandi jnana chakshusha pasyandi jnana chakshusha. So that's the shastram. And shastram is saying to us, you cannot remain in this world without these three things. So person, one who is in knowledge, what is the symptom of that? His symptom, that symptom is this. So he will not try to go along with that modes. When the modes are attacking, what he will do is, he will not fight against the modes as such. What he will do? If the mode of goodness is coming very much, he will utilize it for spiritual life. If it is coming favorably. Because he knows very well, tomorrow that mode may not come. That is why when you have a desire for Krishna consciousness, Bhagavad Gita or Shrimad Bhagavatam, you should utilize it at that time. When that desire is there, it may not be there tomorrow. In the same way it is today. It may not happen there. So, and if tomorrow Rajogunam comes, You have to go along with it. There is no choice there. Because they are more powerful than us. Our decision-making power is much weaker compared to the modes. So, intelligent thing is, whenever there is a wave of satogunam inside, you should immediately utilize it for spiritual benefit, rather than feeling happy about it. Similarly, if you cultivate that, this satogunam is also to some extent, we have control over it. Because salsangam and freedom from the other thought waves does help to develop satogunam. Because if you are constantly hearing Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, even if you are not giving enough attention to it, somehow or the other, it will do its work in developing satogunam. That means, otherwise, if you do not take to salsangam, if you do not take to holy name, if you do not take to Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, the chances are that rajogunam and tamogunam will win. They will take more control of it. So, therefore, but always you have to remember that whatever you are doing in the sattogunam, like meditation or chanting the holy name, or whatever you do in the rajogunam, like the karmam, what you perform with the body or the mind, or whatever you do in the tamogunam, like your depression or your misery, whatever you are experiencing there, or your ignorance, none of these things can touch the soul. That is also an important thing. You see, when we are understanding, this is Jnana Chakshusa. Krishna is talking about Jnana Chakshusa there. What is Jnana Chakshusa? Ulkramandam sidam vavi bunjanam va gunanyidam. Vimudha nanu pasyandi pasyandi Jnana Chakshusa. What is that Jnana Chakshusa? Jnana Chakshusa is this. That in happiness, in mode of goodness, when I am getting inspired to chant the holy name, to study Bhagavadam, Srimal Bhagavadam, and whatever that happiness that is coming from that does not touch the soul. When I am under the effect of rajogunam, suppose sometimes rajogunam attacks you and it controls your life in this world somehow and you are forced to act in particular ways. Sometimes you feel yourself helpless about it, isn't it? Some situation happens in the family. You want to go for salsangam, it's not happening. You are not able to go because somehow or the other you are tied down by the family members and the urgency or whatever we call it. Somebody is not agreeable or favorable at home, because to come to salsangam you require a favorable situation at home. Otherwise it's very difficult. If they are all deadly against it, then they can, that means that the effect is very, it's not favorable for salsangam, and that means it won't happen. So rajogunam will, family can engage you, give you some engagement somewhere. They can say, oh, we have so much to do at home, all furniture we have to buy, car we have to buy, carpets we have to change, plumber we have to get, the list is endless. The list is endless, we know that. So if you go in that route, that is means rajogunam has come. And you are also started thinking, yes, it's very important, I have to do it. My wife has told me the right thing, because if I have not done this, satsangam can wait, this is more important. So if I, my mind is saying that means rajogunam has taken over. But Krishna is saying, the intelligent person, he will not create any waves in this situation. If satogunam comes, he will use it in the proper way. When rajogunam comes also, even if it is bringing a lot of action in him, he will still think, all these things have nothing to do with me. That is knowledge. And that is what Krishna calls it as Jnana Chakshusa. Similarly, when the depression comes, or misery comes, that is the symptom of the tamogunam, isn't it? When tamogunam comes, what happens? We feel depressed, hopeless case, helpless about everything, thinking that this life is all a hell and miserable, and equally we think spiritual life is also not going very far, everything is going under, and you feel like sitting at home watching telly, this, that and the other. Krishna is saying, even in that tamogunam, if he has got Jnana Chakshusa, he will know that that is also temporary, nothing to do with the self. He is able to step away from that also in that situation. Sometimes you can notice this. If the body and the mind is not favorable, you cannot do things properly. Is it not? We all know that. Body has to be favorable, mind has to be favorable. Like, suppose I had a big feast, and if you tell me to chant 64 rounds, it's not going to happen. I'll say when I wake up, I will chant. Because after the feast, I want to sleep. So, therefore, but feast was once in a way it's coming. I didn't want to say no. So, I thought, let me have the feast now. And later on, when things are different, I will chant the rounds. But what Krishna is saying here, that if a situation happens in life like that, then somehow or the other that feast has changed, put you into tamogunam. That's why sleep has come. Feast was good, but followed by tamogunam. So if that happens, Krishna says, well, you have enjoyed the feast, you have, what do they say? Honored the prasadam. In a more sophisticated way, if you put it. You honored the prasadam, that's fine. In a nicely, you honored Krishna prasadam. But after effect of all that is, tamogunam has come straight after that, followed by. So if that happens, Krishna says, even in that pashyanti jnana chakshusa, one should have the proper knowledge, then he will know that that's happening in the mind, not in the self. Not in the self. So all those things Krishna has spoken there. We'll continue with this next Saturday. All glory to Srila Prabhupada.